The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, November 25th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, Pennsylvania liquor stores have been busier than usual since the state's health department imposed a one-night shutdown of alcohol sales at bars and restaurants on Thanksgiving Eve. The alcohol sales suspension begins today at 5 p.m. and will stay in effect through 8 a.m. Thanksgiving Day. Health officials are hoping to curb what they feel would be a rapid spread of the virus on a popular drinking night. Foot traffic at the state stores has been steady. Indoor capacity is at 25%, so you may even see lines to get into the stores. The Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board says early numbers show on a typical Monday their stores rake in about $4 to $6 million. Officials reported close to $10 million in liquor sales. If you do need alcohol tonight and you can't get to the state store, the Philadelphia-based GoPuff says that they will be delivering.
Was that the
company? Did we have them on years ago when they started?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Well, they're going to be delivering alcohol in the city if you do need something.
And they'll even hang out and drink it with you, Kathy, they said.
They might.
Yeah. Well, that's nice.
Yeah, it's company. Just a little company. Yeah, sure. Socially distanced. They'll sit in the car and wave to you.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about the state stores being packed because of that reason.
No, so. I had a feeling that, there would be a bit of an uptick. People getting ready. Marissa?
Yeah, you said May. There's been a line at my liquor store for a week and a half now. But also the... all the local restaurants can sell beer and alcohol to go. So all those restaurants that can't sell it after 5 o'clock, if you're sitting there, can sell to go.
Alcohol
sales suspended. Sorry, Maurice. Alcohol sales suspended at 5, but not at restaurants if you're sitting to eat?
No, you cannot sit down and eat and drink at the restaurant, but you can buy it to go. So you can take it home.
You can order it and you can spin in place. If you spin in place, you can do that.
You don't have to go home, but you can't stay here.
Exactly. And we've learned that before. Yeah. It's closing time.
So alcohol sales stopping at 5 o'clock today, but it'll start back up tomorrow morning at 8. Between a White House in transition and rising COVID-19 cases in the United States, dozens of the top economists in the country are pressing lawmakers back at work in Washington to act quickly on passing a second stimulus bill to send $1,200 payments to tens of millions of Americans. On Monday, an open letter signed by more than 125 economists was posted by the Economic Security Project, a group that looks into the feasibility of guaranteed income. The letter cites lessons from the 2009 stimulus bill and the recent CARES Act as reasons to issue new rounds of payments, ideally until the economy recovers. Reoccurring direct payments will help families meet basic needs, boost state and local economies, and speed the recovery, and should be paired with other valuable programs like unemployment benefits, aid to state and local governments, stronger SNAP benefits, robust child care funding, and more, the letter stated. According to the project, at least half of families have been impacted by pandemic losses, with low income women and Black workers hit hardest. The group also cites an Urban Institute analysis that suggests sending two more rounds of checks could keep 14 million people out of poverty. Sunbeam Products is voluntarily recalling more than 900,000 of its Crock-Pot 6-Quart Express Crock Multi-Cookers for a potential burn hazard. The recall news comes just 2 days before Thanksgiving. The problem, according to the United States Consumer Product Safety Commission, is the recalled Crock-Pot Multi-Cooker can pressurize with the when the lid is not fully locked. That's pretty much what's happening, which they say can cause the lid to suddenly detach while the product is in use, posing burn risk to consumers from hot foods and liquids ejected from the product.
So it's from the Sunbeam line.
Yes.
Now, is Crock-Pot its own line?
Crock-Pot is it?
Because
yeah,
I have a Crock-Pot.
Yeah, okay. Me too.
Okay, but the Sunbeam Crock-Pot is the one that will blow the stew up in your
face. Is it the same place that makes the Sunbeam bread? You guys remember that commercial back in the day?
Yeah, I do. I absolutely don't know.
Huh.
Sunbeam has so far received 119 reports of the lids detaching, resulting in 99 burn injuries ranging in severity from first degree to third degree burns.
Well, we're looking at one of them, Kathy, and there's a detonate button on it.
Oh, you shouldn't have that.
Yeah. Eject stew button.
That was like when I was in school, our computer lab had a computer, and on it had an orange button, a giant orange button, and it always said, don't touch the orange button.
Right.
It'll like you. I'm like, well, why put a giant orange button?
So you can touch it and ruin
things. Exactly.
It's an experiment.
Well, I'm sure it had a purpose, but
The recall includes over 914,000 units in the United States and over 28,300 in Canada. The multi-cookers were sold in stores and online at retailers including Walmart, Target, Amazon, and other outlets nationwide between July of 2017 and this month.
Do you think you would have wanted to issue this about, you know, more than 9 hours before people were probably going to start using them for cooking?
I know, seriously. Well, you know what? It's probably saving some people a burn. So the affected products, they have specific date codes that are engraved either on the bottom of the base or one of the prongs of the electrical plug, and you can find that on their website. The CPSC says owners of the product should immediately stop using it in the pressure cooker mode, but that they can continue to use it in the slow cooking or sautéing mode. I don't think I would be using it at all.
Hey, you can get around it.
Yeah.
Hey, three of your brakes are working.
Seriously.
Wait, it says not to use it on the pressure cooker mode?
Right, that's when the lid is bursting off.
Yeah, that's a completely different kind of cooking. That uses pressure, but if you're just going to saute or whatever, it doesn't need a seal. It doesn't need to add pressure to make it cook.
Yeah, but I'm going to skip that. Crockpot.
No, you'll be okay.
Crockpot will send free
replacement. She's not cooking.
That's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, no. Crockpot will send free replacement lids to consumers who contact them.
Yay.
So, yeah, if you contact them, they'll send you another one. All right, in sports this morning. The New England Revolution scored two first-half goals and went on to upset the top-seeded Philadelphia Union 2-0 in last night's Major League Soccer Eastern Conference quarterfinal match. The eighth-seeded Revolution advanced to face fourth-seeded Orlando City SC in the Eastern Conference semifinals on Sunday. The Union, who won the Supporters' Shield as MLS's top regular season team for the first time in franchise history, lost at home for the first time this season. In the regular season, the Union went 9-0-0 in Chester while allowing only four goals, but their 2020 season came to an end with a disappointing loss at home. In college football, Wisconsin's home game on Saturday has been canceled after Minnesota paused all team-related activities as it responds to positive COVID-19 cases in the program. Because of Big Ten policy, the game will not be rescheduled and will be ruled a no contest. It's the Badgers' third game to be canceled this season, following matchups against Nebraska and Purdue that were called off because of positive COVID-19 cases within the Wisconsin program. The cancellation ends the longest uninterrupted series in FBS history, with Minnesota and Wisconsin having played 113 consecutive years from 1907 to 2019. And the NFL has three games scheduled for tomorrow. The Thanksgiving Day games tradition continues for the Dallas Cowboys, who will host Washington, and the Detroit Lions, who will host the Houston Texans. The night game features the undefeated Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Baltimore Ravens, and kickoff for that game is set for 8:20. And that's what I have for you this morning.
Thank you, Kathy. So welcome to Wednesday, the pre-Thanksgiving Day radio show that we have in store for you. And we don't forget that since a short week for us, Word of the Week prize gets given away today. It's four pack of tickets for the Winter on Broad Street, the Holiday Light Spectacular, and it also comes along with some merch and a photo with Gritty, which is
kind of,
you get a photo with Gritty. We do have, let me see, what was I going to mention? Oh, yeah, you know what? Yesterday, we gave the official totals of Camp Out for Hunger, and it was later in the show, so I figured I would share that with you this morning, because you may have a smaller listening window. But if you haven't heard, over 2.5 million pounds of food raised, and in money donations, over $1.44 million raised. And that number is growing because if you go to Acme Markets today, your purchases, you can make a donation at checkout. And so they're going to add that after today's total. So next week, we'll have an even bigger number. Guarantee you it'll be a bigger number.
Absolutely. I was at Acme yesterday, President. They have our cardboard cutouts right at the self-checkout point.
Yay.
So I was looking at, I was going to go kind of, but I didn't want to pull down my mask going, it's me.
You know what? I took a selfie the other day, Steve, when we were at camp out, and I pulled my mask down for just a second and took a little
murderer
picture. Cause I know. I went to go to get some beer for camp out, and I saw the little, I saw the cardboard cutout. It's the only, I don't have an Acme right nearby me, so this is my first time seeing it in the flesh. And so I took this.
Yes. Yeah, I love it. I love it. It is weird. Yeah. We prepare, you know, for ACME, we'll do anything. Yeah.
Absolutely.
So when you guys see that, is it a sense of pride and then a little embarrassment?
Nick, I'm standing there. I swear to God. So I'm standing there, and there's a cardboard cutout of that. And then I'm hearing us on the PA system. Yeah. And I was having. So it's me.
It's got to be a range of emotions because you got to be so proud of the amount of money.
God.
Like that part of it is just got to be awesome.
Amazing.
But then it's you and cardboard. Yeah. And that part of it's a
I would just be straight up proud. This is what you worked for.
I was kind of hoping somebody would have recognized me.
But you can't because of COVID.
I stood there for just a moment. I took the little selfie, and then I looked around. Is anybody looking at me?
And then,
hey, wait a minute.
By the way, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Preston Elliott. I am featured on the cardboard cutout. If anyone would like any sort of pictures or autographs, I'll be over by the bread.
Dude, yes, when I was a kid, I wanted to buy billboard advertising time, or, you know, just so I could put my face on a billboard and so people would see me.
Who got a billboard? Yeah. This guy.
This guy. Both my thumbs pointing at each other. That's what it
I love
that's
it.
What it should have been.
Oh, we should do that. Who that's got a billboard? This guy right here.
Who got a billboard?
This guy.
Oh, my God.
So anyway, it does continue through today. So I would, for fun, I would like to get one of those cardboard cutouts to keep around here.
I think I would, too.
We have other cardboard.
I'll steal the one from mine.
We don't have enough big cardboard cutout pictures of us. Currently. There's two huge ones now.
That's true. They're behind us, the ones that were at the Phillies games. Wow. All right, anyhow, so congratulations to everybody involved. Camp Out for Hunger, a tremendous success and continues to be so. A wonderful early gift because I didn't know what to expect.
I explained it yesterday talking to a friend about here is your perfect example of the kindness and humanity of people when you're seeing all this stuff and all these forces wanting to us to collide with each other and get angry with each other. There's the big story that and in its largest sense, it represents individual people stepping up and donating.
Yes,
what
it
more
does.
Perfect example do you need?
It's excellent. All right. So we have, by the way, a meet need. So Marchwood Tavern is stopping by. They're part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff. So we'll have some giveaways in conjunction with their appearance. We have a secret text word chance for you to win Unhinged on Blu-ray.
I've heard really good things about this. Is Russell Crowe freaks out like a road rage thing.
Exactly. And so text word secret to 39333. We will see if you win that. We'll grab a random texter on top of the sending a secret text word to you and having you call in later on. So a couple different ways to win. All right, let's get going. We're going to take a break. Come back in a second. Entertainment Report, Super Question. That stuff is on the way. The Grammy Award nominations were announced. So I'll run down some of those. We'll be back in just a moment.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick, I do an early morning shout-out.
Yeah.
This is a really good one. It says, hey, guys, your friend Sheila in Pittsburgh. Due to COVID, I won't be back in Delco for Thanksgiving this year, but can I please give a shout-out to my sister, Whitney. Whitney is the one who has the Preston and Steve stepbrothers portrait from Tattoos Day.
Oh, yes. That's awesome.
It's a big tattoo, by the way. I have it on my, I have a digital frame at home, and it's one of the pictures that rotates because it's so outrageous. It's on her shoulder. It's me and Steve as the stepbrothers. And she says, and also my mother, T-Bone, who has been a huge fan since you were in media. Her favorite her favorite story was stopping the studio on her way to work to watch Ryan Dunn jump from the roof into the bushes.
Oh, wow.
They love you guys and listen every day. Yeah, they jumped off the roof. It was insane. A shout out, please, to Whitney and to T-Bone as well. So, and everybody who can't be here, an extended happy Thanksgiving to you. All right, I'm going to do a Thanksgiving-based stupid question. We're going to give away a $50 Amazon gift card and 1 month Philo subscription. Question I have for you this morning is, which U.S. president refused to recognize Thanksgiving?
Yeah.
215-263-WMMR. And I've heard this before, but I've never looked into why. I should do that someday. Which U.S. president refused to recognize Thanksgiving? I'll go through some birthdays while we're rating. Today, Wednesday, November 25th, it is Christina Applegate's birthday today.
Super talented. Who would have known when Married with Children came on?
Yeah.
She just appeared to be the bimbo.
Yeah,
but no, she's very talented.
49 today, cancer survivor. You remember she had a double mastectomy?
Absolutely. Right. Anchorman 1 and 2.
Yeah. And then, Kathy, you watch Dead to Me, right?
I did watch that, yeah.
Okay. I never finished the first season. Is it worth pursuing the rest of that into the next season?
I mean, I really liked it. I thought the first season was great. Beginning of the second season, I was like, all right, what's going on here? But it grabbed my attention. It takes a bit of a different turn. There's a lot of comedic elements to it. I really liked it a lot.
Okay. She's 49 today. Barbara and Jenna Bush, the former first daughters.
That's right. They're twins.
The twins are 39 today. Hey, it's Donovan McNabb's birthday today.
Oh.
Donovan is 44 years old.
So yes. I saw him on a celebrity Family Feud. It was him. It was the NFL night, and he was the captain of the alumni team.
How'd he do?
He did well, and he looked great. You know, it was one of those things where, like, sometimes guys get into retirement from the NFL, and they put on too much weight or whatever, but Donovan looked really good.
Cool.
Remember I had that friend who was like, I'm hooking up with this guy. He's a professional athlete.
Yeah.
Really? I was like, she told me it wasn't. I think I actually was with Matt Cord, and we were like, no way. Get out of here. She goes, Give me 5 minutes and he'll walk through that door. We were like, what? Sure enough.
She booty called him,
five
right?
5 minutes later, we were like, oh, my God.
Yeah, yeah.
He was married.
He was married at the time.
This was a really, 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 really long time ago.
So he's probably happy and everything's good now and wonderful and totally faithful. But the thing that, when I first met him, I was impressed. He's a super big dude.
Yeah.
He's really big.
He's large, yeah. 44 today. John Larroquette. Remember from Night Court?
Yeah.
And,
you know, what's the movie with Bruce Willis? Is it
Blind Date?
He's great in that movie.
He's the stalker ex-boyfriend.
He gives one of the best movie screams of all time when he drives the car. I think it's into a paint store.
I'm going to have to hear that again.
I think there's a monkey crawling
on
his
monkey.
Face.
I don't know this movie.
It's with Kim Bassinger, Bruce Willis, and John Larroquette, right?
Okay. Yeah, she's scheduled to marry John Larroquette.
Yeah.
And then ends up meeting Bruce Willis, and then hilarity.
Well, no, she
isn't it that?
She agrees to marry him if he drops a...
That's it.
A case against Bruce Willis, because at some point he pulls a gun on him. Anyhow, she can't handle her liquor, Nick, and okay. He takes her out on a date, and she goes crazy. It's off the rails.
Yeah.
It's right. A really funny movie.
Yeah.
I love that movie. So John Larroquette is 73 today.
Let's not forget Stripes as well, guys.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's right. He's the captain. Yeah. So we have Tim Armstrong, who is the lead singer of the band Rancid.
Marissa.
He is 55. Marissa and Pierre's a big Rancid.
Yeah. He is, oh, yeah.
No kidding.
Yeah. So happy birthday to Tim Armstrong. It's also Ben Stein's birthday today.
Great.
Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Yes.
Of course, Win Ben Stein's Money.
An economist.
That
very
is correct.
Very learned.
Yeah, very much so. Nice guy, too.
He is. He's very nice.
He was a speechwriter as well. He wrote...
Probably for Nixon.
Nixon, yeah.
Write me a speech, Ben Stein.
He's 76 today. Jill Hennessy and Jacqueline Hennessy.
Oh, so they're twins?
Yeah.
Jill Hennessy, the actress?
It says twin actresses, Stephen. I forgot to look.
Jill Hennessy was in that... she had two. She was something Boston.
She was in
Crossing Boston.
Law and Order too. She was one of the assistant DAs. They went through whole bunch of very attractive women assistant district attorneys on that show.
I didn't realize they were sisters.
Man, something about hot twins. We had the Lampros twins when I grew up.
Really?
In high school. Yep, they were both hot.
Like, yeah.
Really, man.
But the thing is. Not like you could do them at the same time because
it didn't matter.
Weird.
They were just no. It didn't. It wasn't that. It was just they were both hot.
Porn would disagree with you, Case.
That's true.
Porn would disagree with you.
I couldn't watch that type of porn.
I'm sorry to hear that. She's 52 today. They are 52. And then the last birthday I saw is Jerry Ferrara.
Uh-huh.
Entourage.
Turtle. That's the guy that everybody... Hey, you look like... When I wear my hat backwards,
yeah.
You look like
no
Turtle.
No more.
You were still getting it last week during Instagram Lives. People,
really?
Yeah, when we were doing the one with Rob McElhenney and Caitlin Olsen, people were commenting saying, is that Turtle? And I get tired for it. I get tired for
I
you.
I get tired of it. Okay. It's better than I used to, because I used to get Limp Bizkit, Fred Durst.
Fred Durst. Yes. I'll take Turtle over Fred Durst.
I would take it, yeah. And then also, there's a guy in the NBA, Ron Artest, who got in a fight with a fan on the court.
That's right.
And that guy looks like Turtle. And so every year, and in fact, it was earlier this week was the anniversary of that fight. And it showed up on Twitter, like, happy anniversary to Jerry Ferrara for when he got into the fight with Ron Artest the court in Detroit, I believe it was.
Well, he is celebrating his 40th birthday today, so happy birthday to him. All right, let's see if we can get an answer to the stupid question, which is what U.S. president refused to recognize Thanksgiving. 215-263-WMMR, the number, and we are going to go to Nancy for the answer. Hi, Nancy. Good morning.
Good morning. Was it Theodore Roosevelt?
It was not, Nancy. Oh. Sorry. Oh. Incorrect answer. Let's go to Fred. Hey, Fred.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving, guys.
Thank you, Fred. What is who is the president, I should say, that we're referring to here?
I'm going to say Thomas Jefferson.
And you would say correct. One moment, Fred, for you. $50 Amazon gift card and 1 month Philo subscription. Hallmark Channel's Countdown to Christmas is TV's biggest holiday movie tradition and the perfect gift to make your season bright. Now through December 25th, you can catch all new original holiday movie premieres and holiday movies 24/7 when you sign up for Philo, the most affordable way to watch and watch live and on-demand TV from more than 50 channels, including Hallmark Channel, Nickelodeon, and more.
So why did he not observe?
I said I need to go look that up. I never have looked it up. So.
I know that at that time he had fallen on hard luck. He was selling shower curtain rings. He'd lost his wife.
That sounds familiar.
He was just not in the mood.
Some people wear them as earrings.
Yeah.
All right, so the 2021 Grammy nominations were announced yesterday. Beyonce scored the most nods with 9 nominations. She's up for Record of the Year, Song of the Year, Best R&B Performance, Best R&B Song for Black Parade. In addition, she is also nominated for Best Music Video for Brown Skin Girl and Best Music Film for Black is King. To top it all off, Savage, the singer's collaboration with Megan Thee Stallion, is also up for Record of the Year, Best Rap Performance, and Best Rap Song. And this gives Beyonce 7 career Record of the Year nods, and she is now tied with Frank Sinatra for the most Record of the Year nods in Grammy history.
Hmm.
She is now the top female artist in this category. She's also the 2nd artist to receive 2 Record of the Year nods in 1 year.
You know, it's funny, though.
Wow.
When I hear people and they mention their favorite artists and they're into, say this is their format, the music that they're into, I don't hear Beyonce's name come up a lot, you know?
I don't think she's that great.
I've heard a lot of people say that.
I've always thought the same thing.
Yeah.
I think she's good. Obviously, she can sing, and she can dance, and she does all. She's a great entertainer and all that. But as far as being just a dynamic vocalist like an Aretha Franklin, or someone who just is Kathy Romano. Somebody that is head and shoulders above the rest.
Full
and where
package.
You go, wow.
Yeah.
Full package, yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
A lot of her performances are good, but there are people that are better. There are performers that put on a better show. I mean, she's good.
So she's become a brand like Madonna was.
Yeah.
Well, Madonna is an okay singer.
Okay.
Not great. Britney Spears. Yeah, agreed.
Well, yeah.
Not
crazy.
Great by any stretch, but an overall package, entertainer, has the visuals, has the music, and the songs, the hit songs as well.
Yeah. And do you think
the
momentum, Preston, of it, and this is the way I feel.
Sure.
It's now just assumed that Beyonce is in the running.
Yeah.
You know, and I think you sort of get that. Again, super talented, but I just don't think she is that everything.
You still have to have great songs. You can't do it without great songs.
Yeah.
And I don't know where she falls in the writing part of that stuff goes, because there's usually a lot of collaborators when it comes to pop music.
Actually, Richard Marx writes a lot of her stuff.
I wouldn't doubt it.
Well, you do have to have a nice team around you, and I think that there are a lot of artists out there that probably could have had a better career, that were maybe more talented as far as singers are concerned, didn't have the right people around. For me, the first person I think of is Lauryn Hill. Lauryn Hill is an amazing vocalist. I just don't think she was able to craft a decent song.
It's the luck of the draw sometimes.
Now, what I really wanted to say was I was watching The Voice a couple of weeks ago, and Gwen Stefani had said something, and it wasn't just what she said, but it was also the look in her eyes that kind of struck me, because there was a singer who was auditioning who maybe people didn't turn around, And, you know, because you have to hit the button, turn around. And she, and then the person was a really, really good singer. And she kind of was saying to the person next to her, like, I don't know how, like, if nobody turned around for that, I don't know how I have had a career.
Right.
You know what I mean? And it's just.
Well, I know what you're saying. And some of that is, I don't know, luck of the draw. And,
well, again,
and the right time, right place.
She
and all
was
that.
With the right people. She yeah. was with Tony Canal and all the people from No Doubt, and that got her started.
Right, right.
Yeah.
So Taylor Swift also snagged 6 nominations, including Album of the Year, Best Pop Vocal Album for Folklore. She also snagged her 5th Song of the Year nod for Cardigan. Meanwhile, Dua Lipa is up for Album of the Year for Future Nostalgia, and her single Don't Start Now is nominated for both Record of the Year and Song of the Year. Other nominees include Roddy Ricch, who scored 6 nods, while Billie Eilish, Megan Thee Stallion, and DaBaby.
DaBaby.
All snagged 4 nominations.
What about DeBrat?
I don't see DeBrat.
I like DaBaby.
Yeah.
I heard a song the other day, and they said it was DaBaby. I was like, oh, okay. That's
DaBaby. DeBella's got to fall in there somewhere, right?
Yeah.
Just
yeah.
by
yeah.
the dog.
For Yazoo.
So Jay-Z received 3 nods, and he is now officially tied with Quincy Jones for the artist with the most Grammy nods, with 80 nominations.
Now, Quincy Jones deserves all of his nods. Not that, you know, we don't have a similar.
Well, Jay-Z's, you yeah. know, he's been behind the scenes with yes. Creating all this music for
Doja
other artists
Cat.
As well. Surprisingly, The Weeknd was snubbed.
What?
And didn't receive a single nomination for his album After Hours.
He's been wearing all that crap for nothing?
He, you know, he's the halftime.
Right. The boy. Yeah. Oh, is he really?
He's the dude.
Okay.
That's doing, which is interesting. The singer-songwriter reacted to the news on Twitter, though. Listen to this, okay? The Grammys remain corrupt. You owe me, my fans, and the industry transparency.
Shut up. Shut
you
up.
You baby.
He's DaBaby. He's DaBaby.
Yeah, why are you trying to be? We already have a DaBaby.
Stop being DaBaby too.
You're the Weeknd.
DaBaby.
Don't be DaBaby. We have DaBaby.
Be DaGracious.
Oh my God, you can't do that.
No.
I mean, you can, but it's stupid to do that. To say
that's to be just stupid.
Me. Yeah. You didn't pick me.
You know what though?
What?
It'll work. He'll get a nomination next year.
You think so?
Yeah, people will respond to it. And it's kind of like how Taylor Swift used social media to legally change song rights, you know, and they mobilized their fans, and the Grammy people will pay attention in 2021.
So the Grammys will be hosted by Trevor Noah. It's set for January 31st. In the rock category.
Yeah.
Heroes Death by Fontaines D.C., Kiwanuka by Michael Kiwanuka.
I saw Sarah.
Kiwanuka is how you say his
Kiwanuka.
Last name.
Kiwanuka. Yeah. I'm not familiar
He's
with
He's a really soulful singer. I like him, but it's not a rock song.
It's not rock, right?
No.
Daylight by Grace Potter. Sound and Fury by Sturgill Simpson. And then this one I know, The New Abnormal by The Strokes.
Yeah.
And the rest of them, I think we've lost track on what the word rock means or is traditionally defined as.
Keep your fingers crossed.
Hey, I saw that the alternative albums press, the Fiona Apple's album was nominated.
Okay.
That's, please, if you guys have 30 minutes, just give it a listen. It is garbage. I mean, it is like from front to back, absolute garbage. And I can't believe that it is up for a Grammy.
Other nominees are Beck, Phoebe Bridgers, and Brittany Howard and Tame Impala. So there you go. Coming up in January. All right, I have some other stories I need to get to. Fans of the Drew Barrymore show are wondering what she was thinking when she aired a wedding between a teacher and his former physics student. The episode, which aired Friday, had Barrymore and her crew surprising Dan and Selena, who had canceled their wedding plans due to COVID-19, with an on-air ceremony. While the pair said they had, quote, met several years ago in school through mutual friends, and that they have now been together for 7 years, viewers found out they met when she was 17 and his student.
Uh-huh. So they thought maybe like in college or something they met when they were in school.
Maybe.
He was her teacher.
Yeah.
So how old was he when they met?
I don't know.
All right.
I only know that she was 17 and his student at one point. But I don't know if they started their relationship when she was 17.
No, she was 11.
If not, then it shouldn't be a big deal at all.
Yeah.
Really.
Well, you need to vet your wedding in a day sort of people like we did.
Yeah, right? A commenter said it would be a great story if it was actually true. They met in school because she was his student. Could CBS not find a couple whose relationship didn't begin completely inappropriate? Well, if they met in school, doesn't mean they started their relationship in school.
That's so the question.
Maybe some are being presumptive on right. this as
was
well.
Was he
so.
Picking her up at kinder care? That's the issue.
All right. So anyhow, there's a little hubbub about that.
Well, she's a lovely bride. She's a lovely bride, and he looks very nice.
Lawyer in training, Kim Kardashian, is using her sizable platform in another bid for justice. The KKW founder met with Julius Jones in Oklahoma City as he attempted to stave off execution. Jones was 19 in 1999. When he was arrested for shooting a 45-year-old man named Paul Howell. He was convicted of first-degree murder in 2002 and sentenced to death, but has long maintained his innocence. Sources tell TMZ that she met with Jones and his lawyer, Dale Baish, with several of his family members at a local church. His mother reportedly emotionally recalled Jones staying home with her all night on the night of Howell's murder.
Mm.
Oklahoma Attorney General Mike Hunter is not happy. He told TMZ that every criticism surrounding his case has been disproven. Celebrity endorsements and biased documentaries cannot erase the facts of the case that overwhelmingly prove Julius Jones killed Paul Howell in cold blood. Kardashian became interested in the case after watching Viola Davis-produced docuseries called The Last Defense about his arrest and trial. And she has also promoted a Change.org petition, which, with her help, is now being signed is being signed millions of times. Many critics of the case have said Jones, who is black, was racially profiled and had a poor defense. So Kim's getting out there, and she's trying to fight for a cause.
If you're on death row, are you happy that Kim Kardashian is jumping in? Or maybe you are because she's got a high profile.
Yeah. I think you would be very.
I mean,
happy.
More so than if Rob Kardashian was standing in the.
You know, that'd be a bit of a letdown.
You want
right?
some socks?
Yeah.
He can go.
Kill him now. Chris. We're expediting your execution.
Expedite.
Hurry up. I don't want to see Rob.
Chris Harrison.
Put your finger in that sock.
Tells Us Weekly that viewers of Matt James's season of The Bachelor are in for a wild ride. The hotly anticipated season, which stars James as the franchise's first black bachelor, will include the usual ups and downs, an extra layer of personal evolution. The host tells Us Weekly. He said, the 49-year-old Harrison had said,
hello, Chris Harrison.
It's not that he hasn't said, I love you before.
I've said it before. I'll say it again.
I think.
I'm rubber, you're glue.
I think the problem with him is he realized being the bachelor, he had never fully understood what it means. He didn't understand.
I don't know what love is.
He didn't understand the weight of it.
You should love me.
Harrison said, he is a different man.
I'm a different man than
when he came to us and he got.
He got a crash course
because he didn't get the few steps of being on that show. I think you said show before I did. He really just ripped the Band-Aid off, and sometimes that hurts a little. So I think he had a bit of a rude awakening of the man he is.
The man I am.
The way he loves.
The way I love.
And what love means to him.
And what love means to me.
It really is an amazing journey you're going to take with me. Not just as the bachelor, but also as the man who realizes.
Running in the parking lot.
Wow. Okay. This is love. And this is what it means. And I'm really here to find this. All right. His journey begins January 4th.
The journey.
So it is coming. It's a whole new situation. All right. Netflix has stopped streaming Chappelle's Show less than a month after it added the Comedy Central Classic to its catalog on November 1st.
Did you happen to see Dave talking about this on stage?
No, but I have a quote from him here.
Yeah. He's been doing these... these stand-up shows, and I didn't realize it until...
Sort of pop-up shows?
Yeah, these pop-up shows. And so he I guess I saw it on Twitter yesterday, him talking about this.
In an Instagram video, Chappelle says that he asked the company to remove the series, and it honored his request. He said, I called them, and I told them that this makes me feel bad. And you know what they did? They agreed that they would take it off their platform just so I could feel better. Netflix acquired the rights to the series from Viacom CBS as part of a non-exclusive streaming deal. Chappelle doesn't own the rights to the series, and he has consistently criticized the media company for licensing it without paying him royalties. In removing the series, Netflix's motivations likely weren't as altruistic as Chappelle presents them. The company has a deal with the comedian for exclusive access to his stand-up specials.
Uh-huh.
Had Netflix not honored his request, there's a good chance that he would never wanted to work with the company in the future. So, you know.
That show has been an interesting thing in his life. Yeah. He got what he wanted. We used to have Chappelle on, you know, pretty often. And then he hit big with the show. The show became something of an albatross to him. You remember he walked away from a $50 million production deal. Mm-hmm. And it's weird because it's now reached legendary, revered status. Everyone loves the Chappelle Show, but it's something that I think it's like Robert Plant in Led Zeppelin.
Right. You guys are going to I'll get eviscerated for this, but I never got it.
Yeah.
I tried watching it a couple times and it just. And listen, it's not the first thing I didn't get. There are a lot of big comedy things that I didn't get. Never really fell into Curb Your Enthusiasm or there's a bunch of them. They just kind of, it's not my cup of tea. But it's a juggernaut, you know?
Yeah.
And he could have had a windfall, huge windfall.
I think he won the Mark Twain Comedy Award last year, which is a really prestigious national award. And Neil Brennan, who's a great comedian and wrote with Chappelle for a long time at the Chappelle Show, gave this speech that is one of the funniest speeches I've ever seen, and it had Dave cracking up so much. But Steve, he talked a lot, Neil Brennan did, about the behind the scenes at the Chappelle Show and why it was okay for Dave to walk away. And really, at the end, Dave's probably a better person and in a better place having walked away from the Chappelle Show. And listen, that's a staggering amount of money to say no to, but he's better off now. So you can see why maybe he was the right choice.
Yep. I have a couple of people passing, and they're not big names, but...
So no big loss?
No. Well, Bill Murray's older brother, Ed Murray, died.
I had to look him up, Preston. I was not familiar.
Yeah,
I know the other brothers.
He didn't do any... Yeah. He stayed out of entertainment. He's one of the two of the nine in the family who stayed out of the... I didn't know there were nine siblings.
And from what I understand, he's the one that got them all interested in golf, right?
Well, yes. So he was the eldest, and he's one of two who did not get into the entertainment industry. Ed Murray was named for his father, and he was responsible for leading his family into its love of golf. He was a caddy at their local private golf course, and the character of Danny Noonan was solely based on Ed Murray. Part of the reason he won a caddy scholarship, which is part of Danny Noonan's story in Caddyshack.
I think they were all part of an elite group of caddies, from what I read.
Well, they have become they're on the Wall of Fame.
Yeah.
They're like retired at that country club. So they were considered an important part of the country club. And Ed was just one, like I said, of the six Murray brothers. Who didn't venture into the entertainment world, along with Andy Murray, a chef who opened a Caddyshack-themed restaurant in 2001. Ed adventured into the business world as a broadcasting rep in Chicago and later as a stockbroker in California. But they were a large family, so that's sad news for Bill and company. And also, Steve, a character actress, Dina Dietrich, who starred in multiple TV shows and... You'll mainly remember her, Steve. I know you will, as Mother Nature from the long-running chiffon margarine commercial campaign.
It was hugely successful. Don't mess with Mother Nature.
It's not nice to fool Mother Nature.
Finger blast Mother Nature.
She was 91 years old. She died of natural causes in L.A. at a healthcare facility.
She was a long-time character actress.
She appeared in tons of TV shows. Welcome Back, Kotter, The Ropers, Square Pegs, 30-something, Gary Shandling Show, The Golden Girls, Murphy Brown, Mad About You, and Casey. She was also in History of the World Part 1.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I know you know that movie well. You know what, Nick? Find out who her character
was. She one of Madeline Kahn's?
Was. I think she might have been like her assistant.
Her character name was Competence. So, and... She was somewhere in the Roman Guard, I guess.
Yeah, so I think you're right, Steve. Yeah. I think she might have been Madeline Kahn's kind of
assistant or
you know, appointment keeper or something like that.
That chiffon commercial was hugely popular. In fact, it became like where's the beef level.
Like don't squeeze the charm, like Mr. Whipple. She was that, you know, the Maytag repairman. She was in that pantheon of well-known ad campaign characters. So
probably paid her mortgage for most of her life.
Oh my God.
You get a hold of a successful campaign.
Yeah. Yep. Look at Flo and freaking Progressive
keeps going.
Insurance. Yeah, that's been... How long has she had that career? It's been 10 years at least, maybe 15.
And they keep evolving. You know what I think is hilarious? The Liberty Mutual commercial that's on right now where there is a video game and it's based on insurance. And then they cut to just two kids standing there. And the one kid goes, wow, that seems boring.
I haven't seen that one yet.
It's effing hilarious.
Okay. I got to see it. All right. It's Wednesday, but it's a holiday week. We got movies. So we're going to go into this. Hey, what was the other one we used to play for movies?
Do I still have that here? Yeah, no. It was a 20th Century Fox.
And 20th Century Fox with the recorder?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want me to
Because just for old time's sake, I wouldn't mind rotating those because I do miss that other one, and I haven't heard that
one. Can we hear that one now?
Yeah, he's looking for it. Here you go.
Got to search it and find it. Here we go. Yeah. Okay, now I remember. Yeah. All right, movie's opening. The Croods, a new age animated comedy. Nicolas Cage, Emma Stone, Ryan Reynolds. And the plot is searching for a safer habitat. The prehistoric Crood family discovers an idyllic walled-in paradise that meets all of its needs. Unfortunately, they must also learn to live with the Bettermans, a family that's a couple of steps above the Croods on the evolutionary ladder. So it's keeping up with the Joneses in that realm. Rated PG, running time 1 hour and 35 minutes. It's got a 74% in Rotten Tomatoes, and it's released to theaters.
You know how when you have younger kids, you'll go see pretty much any animated movie in the theaters? I didn't dislike The Croods, but I only saw, 20 minutes of it because I fell asleep hard.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Kathy, it's not because it was a bad movie. It just was like one of those afternoons where I took Ben and zonked the F out and never really came back to watch the rest of it.
Did you like it, Kathy, or no?
Yeah, I did like it.
I thought it was okay. Yeah. Nick, and I was that way when we were in the going to every animated movie phase with the kids. If it wasn't Pixar, there's a good chance I was going to nod off on it. So that is out, and it's not a bad score. Also, Hillbilly Elegy. Is it Elegy?
Yeah.
Okay, so this is on, this is Amy Adams, Glenn Close, and Frida Pinto. A Yale law student drawn back to his Appalachian hometown, reflects on his family's history and his own future. It's rated R, 1 hour and 56 minutes. Wow, in theaters and streaming, Rotten Tomatoes score 25%. They've been pushing that one pretty hard,
What they say is, it's Kathy, this falls into the House of Sand and,
looks depressing.
Like they say, every character is nuclear depressing. And and Glenn Close, just looks like a sack of crap.
Yeah, I think she's.
And I mean that as a compliment.
She's supposed to, but there's a real drug problem, and it looks really depressing and hard.
Oh, good.
Hey, a holiday movie.
Yeah.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Holiday favorite.
Uh-huh. Want to feel better about those horrible discussions you're going to have over the Thanksgiving table? Watch this one, Hillbilly Elegy.
It's a Ron Howard movie.
All right. Then we have clips. We're not done, folks.
It just keeps getting better. The entertainment never stops.
The much anticipated follow-up to the iconic 1990s sitcom Saved by the Bell has finally arrived to save your Thanksgiving holiday. And in this clip star, Haskiri Velasquez.
Haskiri.
Discusses how the original cast helped ease the new cast into their roles. Here we go.
They created a space where they allowed us to ask questions. It wasn't odd in any way. It was like we were always a part of the show. They were very, very much helpful, especially in table reads, in between set, in between certain scenes. They would always come up to us, talk to us. They're super dope and down to earth. It's weird. It's like I kind of knew them before knowing them.
I wonder how old these quote-unquote high school students are.
51.
Because they're all stunning.
Of course they are.
It's Attack of the Beautiful People. But the reboot of Saved by the Bell is available to watch on Peacock today.
I'm going to watch it. I'm very excited for the show.
Marissa, are you going to give it any time at all, you think, for just history's sake?
I saw a commercial last night, and I turned to Matt, and I said, can we just spend Thanksgiving watching Saved by the Bell?
All right. I want to get, when we get back, I want to get your take on
it. Okay.
All right. Here's the next clip. Dark secrets and deception are put in the spotlight in the newest horror thriller on Hulu titled Run. In this clip, Kira Allen talks about her first experience meeting fellow co-star Sarah Paulson. Here we go.
I was a big fan of Sarah's work. I was actually in the middle of the latest season of American Horror Story when I found out that she was cast and that I was going to be reading with her. I was absolutely terrified. I've never been in an audition room with someone like Sarah before. It was the first time. She right away put me at ease. She wanted to get to know me. We spent a long time talking even before we did the scenes, and she really believed in me.
How scared.
Run is available to stream on Hulu. And there you go. That's what I have for you this morning. Who's Lou? Oh, my God.
We played that back this morning.
I saw some text messages coming yesterday. In about our buddy Lou and his...
The whip.
I got a tweet yesterday that said from some listener who said he didn't believe that Lou's stories were real. And I was like, I didn't even respond, but I was like, no, they're legit.
You
can't make this stuff up.
No. Listen to Lou's voice. That's real.
Yeah, exactly.
If you talk like Pituation, there might be reason to suspect it's not accurate.
Casey has hung out with Lou.
Yeah. Well, I mean, not hung out, but I have met him. I've shared a bottle of water in his company, and his wife said to me, it's true. Everything that he says, it really happened.
No, I believe it. He seems 100%. That's what's so great about him. He's 100% authentic.
And let's not let the comment yesterday pass.
No.
Like, I need to know about his first wife who died in jail.
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's get Lou in doses.
Yeah.
Because then the hits just keep on coming.
Yeah, I just don't want to forget about that.
No. Like Casey said, we'll put a pin in that and save that for later on. All right, we are going to have to take a quick break and come back in a moment. We share this Wednesday morning together. It's going to be nice today, about 58 degrees, comfy. So hang with us. We'll be back in a little bit.
What's new? Glad you asked.
AC/DC. Royal Blood. Deftones.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
Steve sent me a list from the National Fire Protection Association. Safety tips for Thanksgiving.
These are really eye-opening.
These are the stupidest. This is like the heat... Warning.
Yeah.
Stuff. So you want to hear?
Yeah. Let's have a few.
All right. Top 10 safety tips.
Yeah.
Okay.
Stay in the kitchen when you're cooking on the stove so you can keep an eye on the food.
Yeah.
Stay in the home when cooking your turkey and check on it frequently.
You don't go away for a couple hours?
Keep children away from the stove because the stove will be hot.
Wait, you're going too fast. I'm trying to write
these down. Jot these down. And the kids should stay 3 feet away.
3 feet.
Make sure the kids stay away from hot food and liquids. The steam or splash from vegetables, gravy, and coffee could cause serious burns.
I never thought of that.
Pressure cooker.
Yeah.
Keep knives out of the reach of children.
Why?
Be sure that electric cords from an electric knife, coffee maker, plate warmer, or mixer are not dangling off the counter within easy reach of a child. This is standard child care stuff here.
This is how to be a parent.
So what you're saying is anything where a child could yank on it and have a knife careen down into their skull is something you want to avoid.
This is only something that you need to tell, like, kids, parents who have, like, brand new, just moving around kids. Like,
right.
You don't realize that they can reach up and grab things yet. But
let me ask you,
know this.
Preston, if you have, like, a three-year-old with a decent reach, should you keep bowling balls on the edge of a counter?
Only if you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, remember the ovens, though? The front of them, they used to get really, really hot.
Yeah.
When I was a baby, I put both of my hands on there.
Whoa.
And I burnt both of the palms of my hands. There are pictures of me with both of my hands wrapped up. My mom said it was the worst she has ever felt in her entire life.
I'll bet. Oh, my God. Do you remember it?
I don't remember. I was a baby, like still in diapers, baby. Yeah.
Wow.
But to this day, no manual stimulation.
That's what did it.
That's it.
Steve, that's why I don't get the whole hand job.
I mean, listen.
Hey, Steve. That's why she doesn't get the whole hand job thing. Let me ask you, Kathy.
Really subtle, Kathy.
did you lose any like fingerprint? I mean, how bad was the burn?
You know what? Let me tell you this. every time I have to go for fingerprints, because you guys know I'm a criminal and I have to go a lot.
Yeah.
No, I've had to have my fingerprints taken a few times. I have to have like a special, they clean them, they put alcohol on them, they do all this crazy stuff.
Was it because of that?
I don't know if it's because of that, but in the end, they have to like, they click like okay for each finger and they have to like basically put in a note that they've done it a number of times and can't get like the proper fingerprint.
That could be it, Kathy.
So I actually could be a criminal because they really wouldn't be able to find me.
We had two kerosene heaters in my house. Uh-huh. And so that's what we had to worry about burning ourselves on. We had a kid who lived across the street who ended up, like, they didn't have kerosene heaters, so didn't know.
Was it the knob? Do you remember, like, there was a knob that you would turn?
It looked R2-D2.
On the heater itself, there was a little adjustment knob that, for whatever reason, was metal, and it would get to the temperature of the sun. And I remember it burning friends who also had kerosene heaters.
Yeah.
Their parents would have to warn them. Maybe it was, like, to adjust the amount of flame that was coming out, but it was...
Why would you make the adjustment knob conductor to heat? Nick, you guys are talking about the ones you say R2-D2, and it sat in sort of like a tray at the base.
Yeah.
Yeah, we're looking at one.
I have one of these.
They were a nightmare.
Yeah. Like, currently you have one.
I currently have one, yeah. It was for emergencies. It was years and years ago when there were the nasty storms coming through, like ice storms.
Yes.
And there was going to be a threat, and there were areas that were losing power, and they were losing power for a length of time, and it's cold.
Yeah.
I just wanted to have an emergency heat source that we could stay in a small room and at least stay warm with, so I bought that.
Okay.
I've never used it. Actually, I used it one time.
Right, if you use it properly... But a lot of times people would just pluck it on in a room that they felt was not as warm as it should be.
And you can burn these indoors. You don't have to worry about
it. Well, that's the thing. We had one that sat in our hallway and then one that sat in the middle of our kitchen floor. I do have a dumb question, though.
Yeah.
What if you use gasoline instead of kerosene? Would that just
they recommend
explode?
That. Yeah. Try it. Yeah, no, I don't
know. Only if you light it with a stick of dynamite.
Kerosene burns differently than gasoline
maybe?
Does, probably.
Because
we used to use kerosene in an old lantern.
Yes.
You know, the wick lanterns. Dude, one worst I ever burned myself.
Really?
I was at my buddy Danny's house.
Yeah.
And the lights went out. It was a storm. Lights went out. We were a bunch of us. It was in the evening. It was on a weekend. We were having a party of sorts. So we lit that... lantern.
Right.
And we're doing shots and playing quarters and doing whatever. And at some point I reached over and I grabbed the glass part that covers over and there's a big glass part that covers where the wick burns. I didn't think it it blisters immediately on my thumb and my index and middle fingers. And it was excruciatingly painful.
It's not funny, but when you become that moment, that nanosecond in which you become aware that your flesh is burning because
it's horrible.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Horrible. That's how Kathy lost her fingerprints and can no longer do hand jobs.
So when that was your bong holding hand, right? That wasn't your lighter hand that you burned?
I could do either. I'm ambidextrous when it comes to weed.
Well, come on. You improvise when you have to.
Kerosene, by the way, here, Nick pulled up this information, is less volatile than gasoline. Its flash point, the temperature at which it generates a flammable vapor near its surface, is 100 degrees Fahrenheit or higher, whereas gasoline is as low as negative 40 degrees. Wow, this property makes kerosene a relatively safe fuel to store and handle as well.
You have fireplaces, yes?
Yes.
Okay, do you use them?
Yeah, I have a gas fireplace, but I have a wood-burning fire pit outside.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
Yeah, but it's propane.
Okay, we have...
The fire pit, or the fireplace inside.
I have a wood fireplace and a gas fireplace, and I prefer the wood fireplace over the gas fireplace.
Gas scares you.
It do.
Yeah.
I mean, I have used the gas fireplace in my house maybe 3 times, and all 3 times I call my father-in-law. I'm like, okay, what do I do next?
Can you come over and turn this on for me? You push
the button.
Yeah. I live in Delaware.
You push the whole... Holy crap.
Wait, I live in Delaware?
Yeah, I am not coming up there to push the button.
Oh.
I live in Delaware.
I live in Wilmington. Yeah. Do it. Be a man.
All right, Casey, I have a stupid question to follow yours. I have a gas fireplace as well. I've never paid a gas bill. I don't know.
Probably fed off your house line, right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
It is. Every month your neighbor's like, Am I getting a bill?
I don't know where the gas comes from. And I've never questioned
it. How am I getting... Look at this.
Wait a minute.
For 11 months, I'm getting a bill.
I don't have a gas bill.
You have a gas-burning fireplace.
Yes.
And, well, you may... There may be a propane tank somewhere.
Do you have gas heat in the house?
And you just haven't used it enough.
It's got to be a gas line, though, because you don't replace it, right, Nick?
Yeah, right. That's right, Kathy. It just pumps in.
And you use it often?
Sure, yeah. I love it.
How's the house heated? Gas heat?
No, electric heat.
Huh?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no gas, and there's no gas bill.
So my heating in my entire house is heated by propane, so we have to have the tank,
you have the tank
refilled, like, you know, every once in a while.
Once a day.
I don't know, ask Rochelle sometimes.
But I understand
it comes
process.
From a magic elf, Preston. Now go to sleep.
That thing makes sense to me.
But you're not sure if it's natural gas or some type of propane.
You know, I probably was told when I bought the house, but I haven't researched it since.
Do me a favor. Don't ask about the fireplace. You'll only upset him.
Okay. Interesting.
That is kind of weird, Nick. But perhaps is it possible they ran a gas line?
Yeah.
Just for the fireplace?
Yeah.
Yeah, because, you know, people can get a gas line run for their grill as well.
So people are saying, Kathy, that I should check my Pico bill. That's good advice. I'll check that.
Mm-hmm.
You don't think he has scoured every single cent that has been charged to him Pico bill? Yeah.
I look at all the bills. I pay attention to the stuff that you know, because I'm in charge of the bills in my house. So, but maybe I just haven't looked at the itemization on it.
Yeah.
I'll call online when my neighbor's off. I steal his Wi-Fi.
I'm going to go to Linda. Linda, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry to bother you at work.
No, it's all right, Linda. What's up?
I really got to tell you, I really don't want listeners confusing natural gas with gasoline. Gasoline will blow up.
Yeah.
A good friend of ours in Northeast Philly in a row house was changing his fuel pump in his car as he emptied the gasoline. He entered his back door, and the fumes alone exploded from the pilot of his water heater.
Oh, geez.
And
it
half burnt down.
No.
Wow.
Yes, in Northeast Philly.
It was hilarious, wasn't it, Linda?
Cracking up.
Well, you should have seen the pattern the debris fell in. It was pretty funny.
It looked
like the middle finger.
So, and we have a natural.
All right, okay. Thank you, Linda. So, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to hang up on her. Nick, yes, there's a lot of people are texting in. It can be included in your electric bill.
I'm going to look that up.
Yeah, you may want to.
So what do they pump the gas through the electrical wires?
Right?
Anyhow, these are some tips for Thanksgiving. Be careful around hot stuff. That's what you need to do.
Yeah. And cold stuff can freeze you.
Cold stuff will be very
the nighttime
very cold
will tend
you.
To be darker than daytime.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Hey, Press, you said you might be able to find time to brine your bird?
I am, yes. I am going to brine the bird. I picked up my bird yesterday, man. My wife had pre-ordered it, and the place that I went to, they had people directing traffic.
Really?
It was so busy.
Oh, wow.
People up picking up their fresh birds. Yeah.
Wow. So is this the place you always go to? It's an organic sort of...
I don't know if it's organic or not, but it's just fresh.
Okay.
You know, as opposed to frozen.
They shoot them right in the parking lot.
It's a turkey farm. I can tell you the name of it because I believe it's Bolton.
All right, pull up. There you go. All right, pull up. All right, there you go. Next! Pull up. All right, there you go.
Let's see here. What's that?
Oh, here's a couple?
Here's a fresh one for you.
Shut up.
And what's funny is I kind of got, I had asked while I was there, I said, hey, do you guys have any brine kits? You know,
right.
A bag and everything. And the gal goes, she's like, actually, we recommend against brining, so we don't have. And an old guy standing in front of me turned around and goes, you don't need to brine that turkey. And I was like... Excuse me? I'm like...
Shut up, old man.
Yeah.
You want to know why? Because I'm your real father. I've been looking for you for years, Preston. I have a story to tell.
I went a little bit on the defensive.
Of course. Mind your own business.
Mind your business.
You old fool.
I was like, dude, well, I like brining. I'm like, I've done it a bunch of different ways. I've cooked them, you know, covering the bird in bacon.
Oh, yeah,
I've
like when your wife wears a strap on, too.
Wow.
Is that all the stuff you like in your kinky little hellhole? You like I like my turkey brine. I like my wife wearing strap-ons. Ooh, I like all these things. You like figging, too?
Wow. You know about figging?
I know about figging. I invented it. I got the patent right here in my wallet.
It's right next to my butterscotch candy.
But he said it kind of snotty to me. Yeah, you don't need to brine that turkey. And I'm like, I'll do what I want to.
Take your meds and shut up.
The damn thing. Yeah. So I
shouldn't you be dead?
I mean, in hindsight, later on, I was like, did I even need to get defensive with this guy? It was stupid. I should have just gone.
You should have pantsed him,
right?
Oh yeah. I didn't need to do that. It's like I didn't invite you into the conversation.
Yeah, Bolton's is the name of it. Somebody texted him. 113 in Silverdale. Yep, that's it. And this person lives across the street, they said. Well, I'm sorry I missed you. Go ask the old man about Brian and Turkeys. So anyway, but I'm going to do it. Yep.
Well, I'm sorry, but did you engage the guy in conversation or?
No, after I just said, look, I go, I've cooked it a bunch of different ways. I've cooked them, you know, wrapping in bacon, flipping it upside down, stuffed, not stuffed. And I like brine. So
yeah. I'll get the hell away.
Enjoy your dildo.
Yeah. Hang on here. All right. So Josh has a PSA and we've covered this before, but I'll let him speak. Hey, Josh, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. Gadzooks.
Gadzooks. What's up, Josh?
PSA out there for people deep frying turkeys. I had one of the vats spill over onto my arms one year.
Oh. Whoa.
Oh,
God. Yeah. Oh,
boy.
Yeah, it was 350-degree oil.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
From my elbows to my knuckles. Oof. And, so just a PSA, watch with kids.
Josh, any third-degree issues with that?
Yeah, so I had... first, second, and third degree in between on my forearms. And then, the pain was incredible. But the worst part actually was when they debris it the next morning.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Yeah. Oh, God.
I don't want to get too graphic about it, but, you know, take the dead skin off.
Yep. Yeah.
There, go ahead.
It was a safe setup, but it was just like somebody hit the table. It got off kilter and just the whole bucket dumped over. Oof. And my arms just happened to be right there.
So there are a plethora of things that people recommend. If you're going to deep fry a turkey, please, if you've never done it before, go online and check. Because it's simple. You just there's a sort of flippant thing to it. But the truth of the matter is it can burn your house down.
Yep.
You can certainly enjoy it. I know people prepare it, love it. But it would be worth getting familiar with the rules.
Without question. Steve's right. Yeah. Go watch a quick video on tips because there may be something you're not thinking of. By the way, my uncle one time, similar to the last caller, was he was a chef and he was working in a restaurant. He was cleaning the grease traps above.
The
filter above the fry lighter, yeah. And he slipped on the stool that he was on and he went down hand first in the deep fryer.
God.
Up to his elbow, like he was saying. And the recovery from that was nasty. He didn't get third degree because he doesn't have permanent scarring, but he did get really bad second degree burns with gigantic blisters, and it was gnarly.
I watched a documentary. I mean, not to go off. This is pertinent to this, but it's not completely. But the guy who played Jason Voorhees for years, Kane Hodder. Mm-hmm. There's a documentary about him, and he used to do. He was known for doing fire effects. Preston's stuntman. Mm-hmm. He went up. He was actually demonstrating for a news program that was, here's the guy who does the most fire stunts in Hollywood. And it went awry. But I've never heard a more horrifying description of the recuperation process. I mean, he was burned. And he still carries, like, on his neck and stuff, you can see, you know, a bit of that. He recovered, you know, and he's doing great now. But the process of the healing, as he was talking about the dead skin having to be removed in the bath that you would put you in a bath that you think is going to be soothing, and it just sends your pain levels through the roof.
Here's a text says, Temple Burn ICU nurse here. Thanksgiving is one of our busiest days of the year. Almost every year we get a couple of bad turkey burns admitted. So keep that in mind. Yeah. And in fact, yes, for even kitchen fires.
Yes.
Thanksgiving is the top day for that.
Of course.
So
have you seen them? I've seen them reviewed, and maybe you have them in your kitchen. It is a sheet that you throw over any fire, an oil fire.
We have that.
Are they effective?
I don't know.
Have you set anything on fire just to check?
Bought a couple of them, but they're in this orange bag, this small orange bag, and it's supposed to be...
Like,
I don't even know where it is, to be honest. We should probably put that somewhere.
It's next to your energy bills.
Yeah, there it is. So, yeah, we have these. I assume they work. I'm hoping they work.
Yeah.
I'm hoping I know where it is.
In an oil fire, they're supposed to be, right? They're for oil.
I don't know. I do know that when we fried the turkey on the roof of Y-100.
No. Oh, my God.
And we left it on. I left it on too long, and the oil caught on fire. The fire extinguishers that we had didn't work. You'd hit it with it.
No.
It would go out, God. And then it would go, and it would fire right back up. And it was because the fire extinguishers are made for wood fire.
Yes, you can't use
them. You
have
to get a specific grease fire hydrant.
You guys got really lucky.
Oh, my God.
You guys got really, really lucky.
That
burnt
down the place.
Oh, my God.
We're on air, Kathy. I'll recount a little bit of the story. So, and by the way, Preston was really good at doing the deep fryer.
I thought I'd turned it off.
He thought he turned it off.
Yeah, I was on location, by the way.
Okay, yeah, you were on.
We were doing bobbing for turkeys.
Right.
And oh,
so
yeah.
It's up on the roof, so you could actually step out from where the air studio was
yep.
on the lower roof in media. And we're doing the show, and I'm looking like, wow, I'm seeing flashes of light against the wall behind Preston. And I'm like, what would be causing that? And then I turn around, and the thing's still on the roof. It's on fire.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah, and so we try to put that thing out. We had the fire department came.
The fire department.
And what I didn't know about things like that, incidents like that, is that the fire department doesn't like that. And, like, they got really mad.
Yeah.
And they were going to fine us and all kinds of stuff. And I'm like, this was news to me. I didn't know all that. And I felt really bad about
it. And they're right.
But part of me was like, doesn't that give you guys something to do? You know, this is what
we love it.
Isn't that what you're around for? You know, to get into action. So, and I didn't know. I had no idea. So
it's just it's like when you tell a comedian, I was heckling, I was helping you.
It was an eye opener. No, they like to do their job. They don't like to be in danger of
right.
You know, but
the turkey fire.
I you know what I chalk that up to a learning experience.
A learning experience. Yeah. Yes.
What did we learn?
Started a conversation.
Yeah. By the way, I do want to mention, going back to this place, Bolton's, where we got our turkey from, it was super efficient. Like, I pulled up, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be waiting in line for a half hour. And so they're directing traffic. They have people coming in and out, and then they have, the cattle shoot thing for you
to
go through to get in. Yeah, there's loads of people
like
coming
Temple
in.
Like Temple Grandin, where you put your head to the...
Not like that. Like you're waiting in line for a roller coaster, that type of cattle shoot.
Oh.
And so, and when you get inside, there's somebody standing there. They ask your name. They have this gigantic board. I mean, like the size of those window panes over there, Casey.
Wow.
Okay. And everybody's name's written on there. They take your name. They cross it off. You walk over, and they ask you, and so they give you a tag, and you walk over. And I'd never asked this before. Giblets or no giblets? I was like, oh, I didn't even know that was an option.
I had them removed.
So no giblets?
No giblets.
I had them removed.
Because I never do anything with them. I should make giblet gravy like my mom always does, but gravy's not my specialty. I'm not good at it.
No.
I've tried it a couple
Quick
times.
Quick question, please, before you jump in, if I may. So if people are thinking about Preston for Christmas or the other holidays, how long in advance do you have to play?
I don't know.
Okay.
I'm not sure. Yeah. Kathy?
Also, I didn't know it was giblets. I thought it was giblets.
Giblets?
No, not giblets.
No, you're thinking that's a Kimmy Gibbler.
Yeah.
It's Gibbler. She was annoying.
What was she
Kimmy,
on?
Full House.
Full House. That's why you don't
I thought you were going to say Gimlet, which is a drink, correct?
A drink.
Or Gimli, which is one of the Lord of the Rings characters.
So, Chris, I was going to ask, you had all this leftover time because of the process was so easy that you picked a fight with a guy over brining your turkey.
Yeah.
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 Nice.
It was brief. No, he started it.
Yeah, well, okay.
He turned around.
Says you.
And commented on something
that
was
I hear?
None of his business.
Who said that?
You don't need to brine.
Who's the briner in this line?
You don't need to brine that turkey.
Yeah.
No.
I also don't need to pull your pants down.
All right, pussy. I once humped an alligator.
What? Huh? All right.
You go brine
I'm
your
just
turkey.
Here for turkey.
Yeah, I just came to feed my family.
I don't know what humping an alligator has to do with the...
I'm a man. That's what it means.
Yeah. You guys going to listen to Pierre at all tomorrow?
Oh, yeah.
I do.
I always
year.
Do.
Yeah, it's 10 a.m., noon, and 2 for Alice's
I just
restaurant.
I can't get down the times he plays Alice's restaurant.
Well, it's funny, man. I know we say it ad nauseum, but people forget it or miss it or whatever. But I love listening to Pierre on Thanksgiving. So
10, 12, and 2, right?
10, 12, and 2. And the 10 a.m. is a loose interpretation of the time. But the noon and the 2 is usually pretty good at getting on.
I'm kind of wishy-washy on the song. But I like, you know what I love that Pierre does this time of year? there is the Welcome Home.
Yeah.
It's a short promo that runs, and it is so... It's so heartwarming.
Yeah, well, Pierre's the perfect one to do that because it is nice. From the heart.
And it's different this year because not many people, well, he shouldn't be traveling, but there are still going to be people, so I'm sure he's going to run it.
It's funny because I feel the same way about the song that you do, but it doesn't matter. Like, it's the tradition of the song, and it's the Pierre playing of it. That's what matters to me.
Right.
You Briners out there. But
Briner!
Briner!
Points at me.
It's like Children of the Corn.
Briner!
All right. Let's take a break and come back with some bizarre file stories for you. Remind you that we do have a secret text word today. It's a chance for you to win Unhinged, the Russell Crowe film. And you can text the word secret to 39333. We'll send a word back to you, see if you win a little bit later on. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
93.3 WMMR at radio.com. Yes. Yes, you can.
All right, and a thank you to Marchwood Tavern for coming by today. They're here as part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night Homegate kickoff. You can visit WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win a football Homegate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve Show. And each week, a winner receives great Bud Light prizes and a gift card to local restaurants like Marchwood Tavern, which is located on Marchwood Road in Exton. They are a staple in the local Exton community, serving up delicious house-made food 7 days a week. So let's take caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR, and I will give you a $25 gift card this morning. And they brought us some good eats. They brought fresh mozzarella and tomato and basil salad, and a signature tavern house salad as well. So we will be enjoying some of that good stuff in a little while. And we'll give you more chances to win as the course of the morning goes on. A reminder, too, that we have short work week this week, with tomorrow being Thanksgiving. So if you're interested in the Word of the Week prize, we're going to give that away today. So only the third letter that we'll get to you, and that is coming up at the end of the program. And on top of all of that, we have a secret text word today, too, seeing that it is a Wednesday. So you can enter to win Unhinged on Blu-ray. Text the word secret to 39333. We're going to send a word back to you. Later on, we'll ask for the designated caller to get in and get that. And we'll also grab a random text or two. So go ahead and text the word secret to 39333. And one more thing to mention. We also have the virtual Santa. At WMMR.com, and you can go there and
my
book.
My wife's name is Annabelle.
A live virtual visit, including souvenir photos and video with Santa to share with friends and family.
Now, that's awesome.
It's $19.95.
Yeah,
but you can do that and still get a Santa moment and have the keepsakes, as we always got the pictures and stuff when our kids were young. So
I think that's great.
Go to WMMR.com, and the keyword is Santa. We should be hearing something from Fox 29 any moment now, as we will go live on their air. I have everything on and up.
There it is!
How about that? 756. Okay, let's get to Preston and Steve, because we all know how this goes. Hey, guys.
Hey.
Good morning. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Happy Thanksgiving Eve.
And yes, the same to you. Looking forward to my favorite holiday of the year by far.
Right?
Isn't it great? Mm-hmm. So we're going to talk about the Thanksgiving Day naps, right? Do you guys all go to sleep a little bit after you eat?
I don't. If I know, if I want to, I will whip up one of my famous NyQuil smoothies. That puts me. I don't, and yet I'm envious. I have relatives, I have family members that can go out like a light. Just sit down on the couch in a crowded room and pass out. I envy them, but I can't.
I will sometimes. It's not like a tradition, you know, as part of it's expected. But if I've really eaten a lot, I'll settle in for a little snoozer.
A little 5-6 hour nap. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Well, they say that's why you should do the meal kind of early. Because I don't know, some people do it in the evening. Some do it like late afternoon.
That's what I do.
Take a nap. Yep. Go back. Get your second plate. Take a little rest. A little bit. Go back.
And try the Robitussin instead of the NyQuil.
The Robitussin, in case you have an annoying cough. Yeah.
There you go. Get rid of both.
Right.
Do you guys help out at all the Thanksgiving meals?
Oh yeah. It's what I look forward to. I'm a guy in the kitchen. I like to cook, so I really like Thanksgiving because of the cooking part of it. Some people hate that part of it. I love it.
If I'm at someone else's house and they've invited me over during that time, I like to go through their medicine cabinet. I think that's kind of my thing. But actually, you know what? A lot of times, because my wife will go visit family, and so, you know, I'll be by myself. And those, during Thanksgiving, I end up putting up all the Christmas stuff. I love it on that level. So for me, that's another advantage to having that time off, and there's nobody getting in your face.
True, but it seems like everybody's putting up their decorations earlier this year because they're just over it.
Tremendously.
And
so.
There was a nice mild stretch. Yeah. I went out like 2 weeks ago and put lights out. I'm not going to turn them on until after tomorrow, but yeah man, because there have been years where I'm like, oh, why did I wait? It's freezing cold, so yeah. Right.
Can you combine both? Can you be drowsy and go hang lights on the side of your house? I think that'd be great. Get up on a ladder.
On the 8-foot ladder. Yeah, right. That worked out perfectly. Yeah.
We also want to congratulate you guys on another successful year of Camp Out for Hunger.
Thank you. Thank you,
what's
Alex.
What's the total again?
It was unbelievable. So food, in the pounds of food donated, over 2.5 million pounds of food.
Wow.
And to put this into perspective, we also take monetary donations. Last year, we got around $200,000 in donations. This year, $1.44 million dollars donated. It's astronomical. It so far went beyond our expectations.
So think about this, all right? With everything going on, and we were calling this by far the most necessary Camp Out for Hunger we've ever done. People going through all sorts of things. And what do the people of this area do? What they always do, they stepped up and they actually gave us the record breaker to end record breakers of all Camp Outs for Hunger.
It's incredible.
Yeah, they say good things happen in Philadelphia, right?
Yeah.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And it does. Right. You can still donate, right?
Yes.
Through today at Acme, if you go through the checkout line, that you can donate right there as you're checking out, and then that'll be it. So next week we'll have an even higher total because it's been going for almost a week past it. So
we're so glad that you guys found a way to still make it happen, and it was so needed in 2020. We're thankful for you.
And
we thank you guys.
Have a great holiday.
Take care of you guys, too. Happy Thanksgiving. Mwah. All right. Love it. All right. We have to do some bizarre file stories. I'm dying to get these out to you. Here we go.
Now, WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. It's brought to you by Cinch Propane Home Delivery Service. They make life so much easier. Never leave your house for propane ever again. Visit cinch.com. That's Cinch spelled C-Y-N-C-H. .com. Nick enlightened me to this story yesterday, and you may have seen it, and it certainly belongs here in the Bizarre File. A mysterious metal monolith was discovered in Utah after public safety officers spotted the object while conducting a routine wildlife mission. A helicopter crew with the Utah Department of Public Safety Aero Bureau was assisting wildlife resources to count bighorn sheep in southeastern Utah.
12, 13, 14.
Pilot Brett Hutchings said one of the officers spotted the object in a remote area of Red Rock, something that appeared to be a scene like right out of 2001, A Space Odyssey. It looks like that monolith, only it's silver.
It's silver, right. The one in 2001 is black.
Hutchings said, whoa, turn around. And I was like, what? And he said, there's this thing back there and we got to go look at it. We just happened to fly directly over the top of it. Hutchings said the origins of the silver metal monolith still remain a mystery, but it appeared to be a new wave art installation that stood between 10 and 12 feet high.
It's great.
And he said it is illegal to install structures or art without authorization on federally mandated public land, lands, no matter what planet you're from.
Huh.
So the department said that it was unclear who or what installed the monolith, and that they would not disclose the exact location of the object out of safety concerns.
The years ago, they were selling replicas of the one company for massive 2001 fans, which I am, were selling monoliths for your yard, Preston.
Oh, that's
cool. Something like $10,000. Oh, I could not justify that. First off, I didn't have it. But second off, for a black monolith, you know.
I have a story of this monolith thing. I think it's in Georgia. And it's pretty lengthy, and I've never had the occasion. Maybe I'll whip that out. Maybe I'll share it with you guys. It's really weird, man.
Okay.
I'll go take a look at it. I have it in the office and see if it's worth bringing up today because of this story. But it's wild. All right, moving on. Here's another weird one. A brownish yellow hardened skin growth on a man's back grew to such massive proportions that it resembled a giant dragon's horn by the time the surgeons finally removed it. The so-called horn started out humbly as a rough, scaly lesion that first appeared in the middle of a 50-year-old man's back years ago. Over the next 3 years, the patch of toughened skin grew progressively bigger. Eventually, it formed a thick, curved, horn-like structure that extended nearly to the man's waist. At the time of its removal, the growth measure was 5.5 inches long.
Jesus.
And over 2 inches wide.
I would let it keep growing, see if it's a dragon.
Reaching just over 2 inches thick. Conical horns, such as these, also known as cutaneous horns, consist of compacted keratin and are mostly commonly found in patients from the age of 60 to 70.
So what would the consistency of this thing be like? Do they say? Was it very hard?
It'd be hard. So while cutaneous horns can form anywhere in the body, they typically appear in places that are exposed to the sun, such as the head and ears, the backs of hands, and the forearms. The horns are generally small, but in some, such as the recently excised back horn, can reach astonishing proportions. One famous example, preserved and exhibited in the Mutter Museum, measures approximately 8 inches long and was removed from a 70-year-old woman and donated to the museum in the 1940s.
That's my horn.
Another...
You like that? You want to stroke my horn? touch my horn. Another, and we'll watch Lawrence Welk together.
Another human horn in the Mutter Museum's collection is displayed on a wax figure that is sculpted from a living model. This horn belonged to a 19th century French woman known as Madame Dimanche.
Do you like my horn?
And the structure measured nearly 10 inches long.
10-inch horn.
So if you want to see that, head down to the Mutter Museum.
Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that was such a common, well, not common, but it's a thing.
Yeah.
Between the monolith and the horn, something's going on. Right.
That's a good rock album title. Between the monolith and the horn,
something's going on. What it is ain't exactly clear.
There's a chick with a horn on her back. Telling me about a monolith there.
An inmate in Blair County Prison is now facing additional charges for an escape attempt by using a milk carton and a plastic spoon.
Just like Shawshank.
Police say 39...
He snuck out in a milk carton.
39-year-old David Snyder used the milk carton to fill the locking mechanism in his cell.
Oh.
And the plastic spoon to pop the door open.
See, what I would have done is I would have cut out the picture of the missing person on the back. I would have gotten the milk carton and put my... Just held my face still. Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And got out in the trash.
Multiple officers caught Snyder in the act and yelled for him to go back in his, in his cell, which he did. Snyder was originally...
I don't want to go back in my cell.
Was arrested on November 12th for a protection from abuse violation and transported to the prison for arraignment. He is now facing new charges that include escape, procuring implements of escape, criminal mischief, and damage to property.
I don't quite understand how the mechanics would work, though, with the, the lock. Sure. You'd think they'd be a little harder to break.
And then one more story. A man was arrested Saturday after police say he drove on the wrong side of the freeway at speeds over 100 miles per hour while intoxicated. How this guy did not die, I do not know. The man later identified as 43-year-old Corey Roy White, was reported driving northbound in the southbound lanes of Interstate 15 Friday night when a Utah Highway Patrol trooper and sheriff's deputies responded. They said he was clocked at 110 miles an hour.
Going the wrong direction.
Yeah, during the pursuit.
He would have obliterated someone.
The trooper eventually was able to perform a pit maneuver and stop the driver's van. White told the officers he thought that he was, quote, just dreaming, and he thought the trooper was trying to race him. The officer said that he could smell alcohol in the driver and saw an open container in the cup holder. A breath test was performed, but it did not detect alcohol. However, White agreed to a urine test, which came back positive for methamphetamine. A blood test was also taken, the results of which were sent to a lab for testing.
He's going to a seahorse party.
White was arrested on...
seahorses forever.
On 9 counts, ranging from traffic infractions to felony-level offenses, including driving under the influence, reckless driving, reckless endangerment, and having an open container of alcohol.
What's a pit maneuver?
I think that's where they come up behind you and nudge it.
Oh, wow.
It's so pitted.
And the front vehicle kind of ends up turning sideways.
I mean, I wouldn't even know where to begin if I were a police officer. And obviously, they're trained to do it. But, like, that's just to have the wherewithal to come up with a tactic to stop somebody, a lunatic doing this
going
type of thing.
Fast.
Yeah. It's astonishing.
Yeah, so they nudge the back, and I think they turn the wheel a little bit, and then it causes the front car to spin out.
Wow.
So, all right, and there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in just a moment. Stay close, because we got much to get to on this Wednesday Thanksgiving Eve. We'll be right back.
Stream WMMR anywhere you have an internet connection. Check out the mobile app or go to WMMR.com. You'll figure it out from there.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
With more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Nick, you wanted to mention something before we get started here.
Coming off a really great week at Camp Out for Hunger, there is a lot to be thankful for, and I just wanted to make a personal announcement. I am so grateful to announce that my nephew Luke has crossed the finish line in his fight against leukemia.
Yes.
It's just, it's such great news for my family, for my brother Adam, for my sister-in-law Jenny, for his younger brother Tommy, who had to deal with his older brother having leukemia for most of Tommy's life. And so, and they have a new baby named Janie as well. Janie can grow up in a family where leukemia is a thing of the past. So I'm so happy. I'm so proud of Luke. The kid's just been a warrior for 3 years. He's fought so hard, and I am just so in love with the kid and so proud of him. And a lot of gratitude goes to LLS, the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, especially right here in Philadelphia. I've done a lot of work with them over the last few years. There are many families who are not nearly as fortunate as mine, and they just do incredible work for families who are going through a tougher time. And so I'm so grateful to them for everything that they've done for me and my family and for families who are far less fortunate.
Nick posted a picture of him. It's great because he's got a shirt. It's a riff on the Straight Outta Compton album, and it's just Straight Outta Chemo.
Yeah.
That's great.
Uh-huh. Yeah, he got to do the thing where you ring the bell a few weeks ago, and then he's been taking oral chemo pills over the last month or two. And the last of those pills was ingested last night. So it's such a great thing.
Right before Thanksgiving?
Right before Thanksgiving.
Perfect timing.
Steve, yeah, and I know you've had a lot of dealing, Steve, with your own personal battle against cancer, and I just... it's awful, you know, but then there are these finish lines and these signs of hope and these silver linings. And so thank you for letting me air that.
He's 7 years old.
He's 7 years old. Wow. And, you know, just with everything else going on this year, to have this positive news is just great for me and my family. And so many people have been so nice through the show. We've raised a lot of money. Bob Havens is just this great guy and he's donated to the cause quite a bit. So I'll do the Big Climb Philly again next year, which benefits LLS, and we'll continue to fight that fight. But thanks for letting me talk about that.
Excellent. Well, that's great news. I love hearing that going into the holiday weekend. So, hey, listen, I wanted to follow up the bizarre file. I had that the story about this monolith. Nick had showed it to me yesterday that they found
straight out of 2001.
Yeah,
not Compton.
In Utah, like out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah,
in like a slot canyon.
It's almost magical, slutty canyons.
So, how somebody got it out there is a bit of a mystery. It seems like it's some kind of an art thing, and it's really cool. But you would have to go to great lengths to get that where it is, and you know, and then just wait for someone to maybe stumble upon it.
Doesn't stuff like that though? It encourages you. It gives you the hey, there's people care to do cool things like this to keep life a mystery and make things exciting.
So it made me think of this thing. I saw this story.
Are you the sorer?
I'm the sorerer. I noticed this story years ago, I think, and I've sat on it for a long time and never brought it to you guys because it's so lengthy, and I was just kind of, I kept it laying around to see if there was a moment to bring it up.
Well,
and it's about something called the Georgia Guidestones, and I'm going to tell you about that in a second.
Isn't that a country band?
No, it's not. That's Kentucky Headhunters.
Is this as involved as, like, the Toynbee tiles?
Way more involved.
Okay.
Way more involved.
Boy. It involves the Dukes of Hazzard.
So I'll get started, and you guys tell me if you're intrigued or not, okay?
Right.
So the Georgia Guidestones may be the most enigmatic monument in the United States. Huge slabs of granite inscribed with directions for rebuilding civilization after the apocalypse.
I've heard of these.
And only one man knows who created them, and he's not talking. The strangest monument in America. It looms over a barren knoll in northeastern Georgia, 5 massive slabs of polished granite rise out of the earth in a star pattern. The rocks are each 16 feet tall, with 4 of them weighing more than 20 tons apiece. Together, they say they support a 25,000-pound capstone. Approaching the edifice, it's hard not to think, of course, of 2001, A Space Odyssey. Now, I'm reading this from an article, so this is from an author's point of view. Built in 1980, these pale gray rocks are quietly awaiting the end of the world as we know it. Called the Georgia Guidestones Monument is a mystery. Nobody knows exactly who commissioned it or why. The only clues to its origin are on a nearby plaque on the ground, which gives the dimensions and explains a series of intricate notches and holes that correspond to the movements of the sun and stars and the guides themselves, which are directives carved into the rocks. These instructions appear in 8 languages, ranging from English to Swahili, and reflect a peculiar New Age ideology. Some are vague. They're vaguely eugenic, like guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Others prescribe standard issue hippie mysticism, like prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite.
Does any address succulents?
What's most widely agreed upon, based on the evidence available, is that the guide stones are meant to instruct the dazed survivors of some impending apocalypse as they attempt to reconstitute civilization. Not everybody's comfortable with this notion. The author writes, the day before he visited, the stones have been splattered with polyurethane and spray painted with graffiti, including slogans like death to the new world order. So some people don't like the idea of this being there.
This is public land?
I don't know. Opponents have attacked them as the Ten Commandments of the Antichrist. The monument is highly engineered, structure that flawlessly tracks the sun. It also manages to engender endless fascination thanks to its carefully orchestrated aura of mystery. And the stones have attracted plenty of devotees to defend against folks who would like to have them destroyed. The story began in June 1979 when a gray-haired gentleman showed up in Elbert County, made his way to the offices of Elberton Granite Finishing, and introduced himself as Robert C. Christian. He claimed to represent a small group of loyal Americans who had been planning the installation of the unusually large and complex stone monument. Christian had come to Elberton because he believed the quarries produced the finest stone on the planet. Joe Fenley, who was the president of that company, nodded when the guy came in. But then when Christian began to describe the monument he had in mind, he stopped what he was doing, because not only was a man asking for stones larger than any that had ever been quarried in the county, he also wanted them cut, finished, and assembled in some kind of enormous astronomical instrument. Christian explained that the structure he had in mind would serve as a compass, a calendar, and a clock. It would also need to be engraved with a set of guides written in 8 of the world's major languages, and it had to be capable of withstanding the most catastrophic events so that the shattered remnants of humanity would be able to use those guides to reestablish a better civilization than the one that was about to destroy it.
So I'm looking at this, and I don't know if this would be able to withstand the cataclysmic end of the... It doesn't look, I mean, it looks sturdy, but it doesn't look like it wouldn't come down in something that was really profound.
Well, I mean, I don't think it's going to survive an atomic bomb or anything like that, but that's why it's out away from anything. So, but it could withstand hurricanes, any kind of natural disasters, because those things weigh a ridiculous amount.
Did they say what they charged the guy for this, all this work?
So here's the deal. He said he attempted to discourage the man by quoting him a price several times higher than any for any project commissioned there before. The job would require special tools, heavy equipment, and paid consultants. But Christian merely nodded and asked how long it would take. Fenley didn't rightly know. 6 months at least. He wouldn't be able to even consider such an undertaking until he knew that it would be paid for. And when Christian asked whether there was a banker in town he considered trustworthy, Fenley saw his chance to unload this guy on a guy named Wyatt Martin, who was the president of the Granite City Bank. Martin was taken aback when the man told him that straight out that his name, R.C. Christian, was a pseudonym. It wasn't his real name. Mm-hmm. He added that his group had been planning this secretly for 20 years and wanted to remain anonymous forever. He said when he told me what the group wanted to do, I just about fell over. He told him essentially he needed to know that it was going to be paid for, and he needed some information. He had to find out who the guy was. Eventually, they negotiated to an agreement. Christian would reveal his real name on the condition that Martin promised to serve as his sole intermediary.
So how was the money?
Sign a confidentiality agreement, pledging never to disclose the information to another living soul and agreed to destroy all documents and records related to the project when it was finished.
All right, so how was the money exchanged?
I don't know. This, Steve, it's really lengthy. This is like a 20-page article.
Oh,
so I don't know if
I can make it.
I only got to get through part of it, and I don't know how much they paid for it.
Have experts come in and examined?
So the astrological specifications for the Guidestones were so complex that Finley had to retain the services of an astronomer from the University of Georgia to help implement the design. The four outer stones were to be oriented based on the limits of the sun's yearly migration. The center column needed two precisely calibrated features, a hole through which the North Star would be visible at all times.
What?
So like it never moves from there.
Huh.
And a slot that was to align with the position of the rising sun during the solstices and equinoxes. The principal component of the capstone was a 1/7-inch aperture through which a beam of sunlight would pass at noon each day, shining on the center stone to indicate the day of the year.
No USB ports.
The main feature of the monument, though, would be the 10 dictates carved into both faces of the outer stones in 8 languages: English, Spanish, Russian, Chinese, Arabic, Hebrew, Hindu, and Swahili. A mission statement of sorts. Let these be guidestones to an age of reason, I think it says. Was also to be engraved on the sides of the capstone in Egyptian hieroglyphics, classical Greek, Sanskrit, and Babylonian cuneiform.
So what do we think? Victor on line one here has. Do you think this has any relevance to what you're?
Let me go to him. Yeah. I'm going to go to Victor. Hey, Victor. Good morning.
Good morning, Gadzooks.
Hey, Gadzooks. What's up, buddy?
Yeah, I just figured I'd give you a bit of a slant on the vandalism on the Georgia Guidestones.
Okay.
Well, it seems I was part of a Facebook groups that were talking about this stuff, and basically they believe that the Cabal, the Illuminati,
yes,
are actually, you know, the shadow government ruling the world, the Cabal, and what's happening is there's an event happening, some kind of disaster, and disclosure, they're letting people know ahead of time that this is what's going to happen. And basically, these are the instructions that we're going to follow. We're letting you know ahead of time that this is what's going to go down. You can't stop it.
Huh. Okay, and what's going to go down?
No one knows.
There's going to be another K2 event. This is what the Göbekli Tepe thing is about.
A K2 event?
The one that destroyed the dinosaurs.
Oh, I thought it was a mountain from Better Off Dead.
No, that's the K-12.
Oh, the K-12.
You're saying the Illuminati is in some way connected to Better Off Dead.
I apologize.
No, there's no... there's a lot of K's in this world.
So there's an extinction-level event that's coming to the world.
Exactly.
Okay.
And, you know...
What does this have to do with Cold Stone Creamery?
Well, it's all about stones, isn't it?
Exactly.
Stones all over the place.
So this is... I watch, you know, the Ancient Alien shows and all that stuff. My wife is into them, and they mention things that are like this. But you have no indication, Victor, of what this, you know, world-ending cataclysmic event is?
Well, I don't think they've deciphered it yet, but like I said, they found the stones, these monuments at Göbekli Tepe. And what they say is that another event is coming—a meteor or something—is going to hit.
Right,
and
it's not going to be fun.
12,000 years.
Well, you know, you bring up that location. If you watch these shows, Preston, you see stones like this that weren't done in modern times; that were done 1,000 years ago. You know, 1,500 years ago. I mean, ridiculous amounts of time. How did they get things so precise? There is a temple. Like a 4-story stone temple that was carved out of stone continuously, down into the ground. What kind of tech? How did they do that?
Yeah, those things are pretty wild.
How bored were they?
That's what the Ancient Aliens focuses on things that how were these
take the aliens out of it even?
How were these civilizations, these primal civilizations or primitive civilizations, I should say,
stupid,
able to create some of these things?
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting.
There's a theory that physiology among humans was different back then. Evolutionarily speaking, we were more sensitive to our environment, which is how we could follow labels.
We all had back horns.
We had those curly dragon horns.
Right. Yeah, it was very cool, actually. It made us easier to be carried around by our alien overlords. We were like luggage.
All right. Thanks, Victor. Appreciate it, man.
Thank you. Have a good one.
Yeah, it's ponderous. I mean, because you know, who decided to pay for all of this? You know, I don't think it's a prank. I think they put a lot of thought into it, and they may believe what they're saying.
Do you think it has its origins in a story that would be very, very similar to a Hallmark Christmas movie?
Yes. Maybe.
Yes.
As you know, I mean, you can't stop love.
It is impressive. I mean, to look at it, and we had the picture up in the studio. Yeah. I don't know how you could look at something like that and not say, that's a mystery, because it really is bizarre.
What are the 10 things that they have on the giant slabs?
Don't leave electric knives dangling off the counter.
Your kids can reach them.
Right, Candy? Keep your deep fryer away from the wall. Right,
you know what? Right. You would need, Nick, see if you can pull something up that has the basic gist of it, because this is the full history and story, and it's really lengthy. And I never did go through and just, you know, pick out the highlights that I thought would be worth mentioning. But
just read all 20 pages.
I could go through all that if you want.
Well, here are the 10 inscriptions, Preston, if you want to. Then they're not, it's not too long, Steve.
Okay, yeah, here we go. Maintain humanity under 500 million in perpetual balance with nature, meaning that I guess
somebody's got to go.
Somebody's got to go.
Okay, well, we got to take out a couple people in this studio right here.
Guide reproduction wisely, improving fitness and diversity. Number three, unite humanity with a living new language.
Oh, I know what that is.
What?
Pig Latin.
Oh, okay. OKA.
Okay, yeah.
KOA. Rule number four: rule, passion, faith, tradition, and all things with tempered reason.
Well, that's a good. We can all get around that one.
Yep. Five: protect people and nations with fair laws and just courts.
That's a good one.
Number six: let all nations rule internally, resolving external disputes in a world court,
like The Hague.
Number seven: avoid petty laws and useless officials.
Okay, so not a Tom Petty fan.
Number eight: balance personal rights with social duties. Number nine: prize truth, beauty, love, seeking harmony with the infinite. And number 10: be not a cancer on the earth. Leave room for nature. Leave room for nature.
And don't repeat yourself.
So I think what it's supposed to be is just a general guide for rebuilding society. Will it ever happen? I don't know. But if it does, here's something that you can take.
Just go read the book, The Stone.
It's like the seed vault that's in Norway. You guys know that?
Yeah.
So,
in case of the end of days?
Yes. In case there is some apocalyptic event, maybe that blocks out the sunlight for extended amounts of time, they have taken seeds from almost every living plant that's on the earth and stowed them away so that they are safe in a vault.
Just don't let Kathy get her hands on them.
And that they will remain safe and use in the case of some type of an emergency.
To regrow the plant life on Earth.
It's actually a very smart thing to do.
I have set up in Carlsbad Caverns. There is one of the caverns devoted to Hearst cheese balls.
What? the moment you said Carlsbad Caverns.
Cheese balls.
Cheese balls are great.
Yes. Cheese ball caverns. And if you store them in the right humidity level at the right temperature, they will stay forever. I need Hers cheese bowl cavern.
I'm fascinated by stuff like this. It's I don't, you know, things like this when I was younger used to kind of scare me a little bit. Yeah. Steve, you know what this should have been on? Would have been
Ancient Mysteries.
No, Leonard Nimoy's.
In Search of Unsolved Mysteries.
In Search of.
Yeah.
It would have been something
like, you know, Zachary Quinto does the exact same show.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's...
So something like this, even though it's more current, they still don't know who was behind the creation of it. They don't know who that guy was, Christian, who came in, and they don't know who the benefactor was, who had all the money to pay for that stuff.
Right.
And Casey, you had mentioned Toynbee tiles. Those things are fascinating to me.
And they're local. You can see Toynbee tiles around the city.
There's some around here. A few of them have disappeared, but they were just... Was it some dude just doing it? Yeah, probably. But it still what is that? What would motivate someone to do that?
The guy doing the art installation with the monolith or these things. These are huge. Again, I think when you think of ancient civilizations, you know, do you think that, you know, the ancient Egyptians got together for a practical joke? You know,
he's
going to look like a cat.
Yeah,
but it's not a cat. They'll be asking questions for centuries.
I need to dive more
pyramid. Why?
You know what? I bet there's what I need to do is check YouTube for it. I never
there's
did go
lots
and...
of YouTube stuff out there. I've talked to my brother about this stuff. So,
about this? About yeah. the Georgia Guidestones?
No, I didn't know about that. Okay. But the Victor who called in who talked about Göbekli Tepe.
Yes.
I've heard
it's
about.
It's on Ancient Aliens all the time.
What is it?
You can, it's a location that has a tremendous amount of connections to ancient mysticism and alien activity and Cold Stone Creamery.
Oh, and yeah. why wouldn't? I mean, it is a mystery how yummy that is.
How do they get it
well,
so yummy?
You look at the pyramids. And you look at the Sphinx, and those are gigantic.
It's a cat.
Those are gigantic things that are you know, they're international landmarks. But then you have other things like, and I, it's hard to say Göbekli Tepe.
Just say Johnny Galecki.
Johnny Galecki, yeah. Which you know is of a time as well, and there's lots of. people doing like research about it. And,
do you know what? My wife, yeah. I'm literally going, it's one of the things I is on her bucket list is to go to these locations. She's so fascinated. I can't see how you would stand in a ditch where a temple has been carved out of stone continuously, not built, but carved out of stone straight down four stories and not go, this is impressive.
Yeah.
When you were reading the rules inscribed on these tablets, Preston, did anybody else think of Thanos and population control?
Oh, yeah. And look how that played out.
Yeah. I mean, but there's...
We lost Ultron.
There's a villain.
I mean, the Vision.
Well, Vision, we lost. I mean, Ultron.
Ultron did get lost.
They were kind of...
Right, yeah. But...
they were pals. They commuted together.
But that villain, that supervillain, the worst villain in the entire universe, had a point.
Yes, so he subscribed to the teachings of Johnny Galecki.
That's right.
So this also says that it refers to a time capsule buried under the tablet.
Ooh.
But blank spaces on the stone intended
for advertisements.
For filling in the dates on which the capsule was buried and is to be opened have not been inscribed. So it is uncertain if the time capsule was ever actually put in place.
Did you ever do a time capsule in school?
No, but you know what? I would.
We should do a time capsule as a show.
We should.
We talked about doing that in here when everything was under construction.
Wait,
I know, but
did
they no.
But we'd never be able to open it.
We buried a dead mouse in the wall.
I think we put something in the wall.
I think we put like bumper stickers or something.
Did we?
Did we put one of the dildos in there?
That's it, Preston. That's what I was thinking.
No, we didn't.
Are you sure,
we
Casey?
No, we still have.
Well,
them.
It's a stupid time capsule if we forgot we did it.
I know, seriously.
Yeah, I know.
Well, right? No, aren't you supposed to forget
no,
that?
No, you're supposed
it?
To know that you've done it so that, you know, people know. Like, so a lot of times, Kathy, they'll put time capsules in the cornerstones of buildings.
But sometimes they are done without markings, as if, you know, hopefully right. someone will find this someday.
Right.
But yeah, a lot of times, yes, it has to be opened 100 years right. after put in, you know, or something like that.
When they raised the building and then put up a Cold Stone Creamery.
All right. Anyhow, it goes on to say the complete text of the explanatory tablet is detailed below. The tablet is somewhat inconsistent with respect to punctuation and misspells the word pseudonym.
My Jeopardy.
My mom would be pissed.
I'm probably going to blame the stone carver on that. The original spelling punctuation in line.
I asked you to give me it written down.
And line breaks in the text have been preserved in the transcription which follows. Letter case is not. At the top center of the tablet is written the Georgia Guidestones, center cluster erected March 22nd, 1980. Immediately below this is a line, the line outline of a square inside which is written, let these be guidestones to an age of reason. And around the edges of the square are written translations to four ancient languages, one per edge. And then I had already mentioned it's Babylonian, classic Greek, Sanskrit, and ancient Egyptian hieroglyphics.
Huh.
It's interesting.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, who weighed in on it is Yoko Ono. Did you see that quote?
Her. We actually gave a TED talk. Do we have that audio?
It'll take a second to pull that up. But yes.
It's actually interesting. She raised some points. Even I think even the staunchest cynic will listen to her arguments.
What and she had to say.
She
about
had a lot that made sense. Is Yoko Ono
the Georgia Guidestones?
Yeah, yeah. yeah. This okay, is her here talking it is. About it.
TED Talk. Yoko Ono, not Yono.
Orinoco Flow.
Apollo Anton Ono.
Yono. That's how she'd be. Yoko.
Bovine Jono.
Yoko.
said the inscribed messages are, quote, a stirring call to rational thinking.
Okay.
So she wants us to thin out the planet.
Yoko.
I'm sorry. Can you get her on the horn, please?
Yoko.
Hang on. Jesse has been reading about this. Hi, Jesse. You're on the air. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. How you guys doing?
Good. What's up, bud?
So I'm reading a book called The Magicians of the Gods by Graham Hancock.
Ooh, okay.
I know this guy, yes.
Yeah, he's an amazing author. He has a theory that there was a ancient race of people far technologically advanced than we are today.
Are these, I'm not saying this is a joke, but are these lizard people?
Well, there's theories that they're actual people. There's theories that they... You know, from the Bible, they're called angels.
Okay.
Or in the Book of Enoch, they're called the Watchers, the Anunnaki. So there's what they found at Göbekli Tepe was a pillar that predicted an astronomical event in our time right now, which is that the sun rises in the constellation Sagittarius.
It's always right now. It's always in our time.
I know.
When they say it's going to happen.
Because you wouldn't give a rat's ass.
Yeah,
it's going to be five times from now.
Yeah,
I don't care.
5,000 years from now.
I got to pay my Visa bill.
Sure. Go ahead, Jesse.
Yeah, so they found these same style, for lack of a better word, artwork in the Andes, you know, attributed to the Incas. They found it in Turkey.
Andes!
Those are the Andes.
Yeah. Bear with us, Jesse.
No, you guys are fine.
Okay.
So they're finding all these similarities, you know, similar postures on the statues.
Yeah.
You know, hands folded across the belly, things like that, all over the world. So there's a theory that this race of people, after a meteor hit 25,000 years ago, rebuilt society by traveling all over the world and sharing basically what the
contractors
are telling us.
Okay. That's interesting stuff. I mean, it's all, you know.
I wish it was lizard people.
I guess.
Hey, but... Jess, can you talk a little bit more about the sun rising in the Sagittarius constellation?
Yeah, so I think it was 12,600 years ago, if my numbers are right, from what I remember from the book. The sun was rising in Orion. And so there's the...
What about Uranus?
No, not my anus. No, not right now.
No, go ahead.
So the constellation houses the sun for a certain amount of time, which is 25,000 years, give or take. So the an age, say the age of Aquarius, is 25,000 years.
Oh man, my head I have a headache. Keep going.
There's so much information. It's unbelievable. You should definitely read the book. I'm definitely not doing it justice.
Is a lot of this information contained in Animaniacs? Because I'll absorb it that way.
It
has to be dumbed down. Yeah.
Well, it's the way that the Earth rotates. I mean, this can be boiled down to basic astronomy. You know, the constellations move.
Sure, take the easy way out.
Well, I mean, listen, like most things, there are rational explanations for all of it. So the astrology is based on actual science. It's the storytelling is applied to it, and fiction works its way in.
Well put.
I happen to think that there's a large group of lizard people that would disagree with you.
I'm sorry, Jesse.
No. Traditions are handed down orally before there's written, you know, written language. So things got messy. But it has a lot to do with the global flood story that's taught in you know, major religions across the world.
Right. Oral traditions can get messy.
Yeah. Oh yes.
Yeah.
Especially Thanksgiving.
Yeah. Right. All right. Thank you, Jesse. Appreciate it, man.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Love you guys. You guys rock.
Thank you, man.
Appreciate
it's a lot to consume for a lot of people. So.
I find
honestly,
this stuff interesting.
Watch Ancient Aliens.
I take it with a grain of salt because you can head down the path of, you know.
Then you're sitting there in your house with your thought orb in the basement while your wife is saying, hey, Briner.
Briner.
Yeah. Briner. I'm married to a Briner. He lives in a box. He thinks his uncle's a paperclip.
I'm super interested in this stuff, but I'm not, like, invested where it's going to be, you know, going to be consumed
fun.
By
I'll,
it,
I'll
right?
tell you, Casey, it's a perfect example. Years ago, Eric Von Daniken wrote a book called Chariots of the Gods. I loved it.
Right.
Yeah.
If you take whatever, even extract the alien thing and just look at these incredible structures that are there physically to be seen,
yeah.
that alone is impressive.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't need to be a Zontar who did it. It's amazing in and of itself.
But that guy mentioned Graham Hancock, and because...
Great band.
Great band. Totally underrated.
Yeah.
Should have had Grammys like The Weeknd, but didn't. And it's just a conspiracy. But anyway, this Graham Hancock guy, I've watched him do and listened to him do some podcasts. He's really, really interesting. And, like, he speaks... He talks good on this stuff.
You're a good talker.
Yeah, you talk good. But it's really...
What is his main theory? What is his main premise?
Well, listen, he's better at retaining and talking these things out than I am, okay. Right? But, my thing is I'm interested to listen to it, right?
Right. Yeah.
I like listening to it. I'm not like, oh, my God, this is crazy.
This guy's
like,
so hot.
And this is how I'm going to live my life for the rest of my days.
No. Honestly, it opens up my eyes to a lot of stuff as far as what the mind can do.
And brining.
And brining, of course. No, but about even things like religion and how I need to take that, not necessarily at face value, for a lot of storytelling. And a lot of things that are made up in that I find when I hear things like this. So,
but you also know, again, there is an entire universe. We don't know where it at. Your mind needs to be open to all of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, I know some lizard people who have stories.
Yeah. Mm. And also, Nick, you had mentioned Thanos. Was he the last of his kind, or there
the first?
Or are there other Thanai out there? I know that we spent a little time on Titan.
There's Than Eddy.
There should be a baby Thanos.
Yeah. Than Eddy, Than Lou.
Yeah, Than Williams.
Than Gus.
Yeah.
Than Williams.
But I want...
Than is just the... it's like a Kim.
Right.
Kim Jong-il.
Right.
Than-ass. Than and Lori.
Mm-hmm. Fangoria. There's a lot of them.
Yeah.
You guys know about the founder of the Church of Latter-day Saints said that the second coming of Christ was going to happen in 1844, and all these people gathered around and waited for it to happen.
Oh, yeah.
It didn't happen.
Listen, I might have misspoke, but I'm still going through with the picnic.
Yeah. And the fun thing about prophecies is that they never come true, but people that like to subscribe to them believe in the message, and so they stick around.
Right.
Sometimes it ends poorly, Nick, though. We're talking about charismatic people who end up getting other people killed, like the Hellbop group.
The Heaven's Gate.
Heaven's Gate.
So there's a documentary coming out about that. I was just talking to Steve about it this morning. There's a trailer out, and, you know, that guy's saying, look, you're going to live forever if you do what I say, and part of that means cutting your nuts off.
Yeah. And drinking poison and wearing... Were they wearing Nikes when they were
there? They were wearing the same shoes, Nikes, and they all got their hair cut the same, and they all committed suicide because they thought it was going to transition them into... this other world. And, of course,
there's a fine line between some cultish behavior and some religious behavior. And when people take any of those things too seriously, that's where violence and danger can come.
Their big mistake was they should have been wearing Adidas.
Bop.
Hail Bop. Hail Bop.
You mentioned the Church of Latter-day Saints and their, listener, people that are devout and they believe what they believe. But I took a deep dive into that one time because a temple was being built before I moved here from St. Louis. And so I'm like, oh, what's this all about? And I was like, wow, that's
for me
interesting.
I said Latter-day Saints. I might have meant Seventh-day Adventists, but
they were in the wrong place.
In that particular example,
It was on the 8th day is when it was going to happen.
I'm in the wrong meeting. I'm a Seventh-day Adventist. Is this the timeshare?
You were there for the timeshare thing?
I want to get one of those Georgia Stones. Just a ranch. I don't need a high rise.
Yeah, I take it all with a grain of salt. I find it fascinating. There are some people who are like, who start believing everything that they hear about these things. I just find them an interesting character study of people and civilizations and stuff like that. So
for all that you can explain, always accept the fact that there is a ton you cannot, and that always leaves that now. Obviously, you know, I always say this with my brother. He used to be terrified when I'd say, Tom, the universe goes on forever, but you still have to pay your bills.
Right.
So whether you can wrap your mind around that, you still have to find out how come your fireplace keeps running even though you don't have a gas.
And somebody who says that they do know everything don't.
Right.
Mm-hmm. By the way, Steve, an ingenious person texted in and said that this should be how Yoko answers her phone, and I'd like you to try it.
Soon. Okay.
Go for Yoko.
Go for Yoko. Go for Yoko.
All right. Anyhow, If you want to see something that's a little bit freaking,
clap your hands.
What's interesting about this, though, this one is it's more current. This is a mystery that's more current. It was built in 1980.
Where does the Cold Stone Creamery come from?
And these other ones, they have...
That's a mystery.
We could find out who was behind this, but they covered they covered their tracks so well that nobody knows.
Well,
so
look at the whole thing that the guy created with the hidden treasure in the mountains.
Yeah.
That is the stuff of legend and lore that gets compounded. I was watching a documentary about D.B. Cooper. You know, that all the stuff that happened with that.
I was watching something about DVDA.
Yes, which is a double vaginal, double anal. Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Where did it go?
Where did they go?
Austin's been on hold for a long time, but I'm going to bring him on. Austin, we pretty much covered this at the beginning, but you were going to share?
Yeah. So the Georgia Guidestones, when you think about it, they were put up in 1980, the height of the Cold War. So there's a lot of these... and you look at how they're built out of granite and they're very strong. They're built to withstand a nuclear holocaust and disrupt any potential survivors on how to rebuild the world.
Right, they were also built at a time when DC Cab was still in the theater.
Our own personal apocalypse. Exactly, Austin. So that's kind of what they seem to. Now, there's probably a bunch of other theories around it, but yes, I think it was for some cataclysmic event.
Yeah.
And like you said, at the time in the 1980s, nuclear war was certainly on the minds of a lot of people.
Well,
so.
There was also the E.T. video game.
that was a cataclysm.
If you're looking for more info, they can go to 79days.news.
All right.
What's that?
It links straight to the busty Asian side.
There are a lot of different theories about different things, about the New World Order and stuff like that.
About weird stuff. Okay, gotcha. Yeah. Thanks, Austin.
We appreciate it, Austin.
Thanks. All right. Well, I just thought with that story out of Utah, with that monolith that popped out of nowhere, I've had this thing sitting around for a couple of years.
Yeah.
And was just waiting for a moment to maybe share it. But I think I found some weekend viewing.
Mm.
I'm going to watch something about the Georgia Guidestones. All right. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a moment. Let's give away some good eats because Marchwood Tavern has stopped by today and brought by some good stuff. It's part of the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff. Caller number 10, you get a $25 gift card. You can visit WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win a football home gate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve Show. And as part of this year's Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff, you can win incredible prizes for your football home gate, including a case of Bud Light Platinum, $100 Primo's gift card, custom MMR and Bud Light Platinum seltzer pint glasses, a $25 gift card from local restaurants like Marchwood Tavern. So caller 10, you get it. We'll be back in just a moment.
Freshen up your look with a fall merch update at MMR's Rock Shop. Head to WMMR.com and grab the latest hoodie or winter hat. For all you Halloween heads, hit up aisle 1 for a flurry of ghostly face masks. They'll get you right in the spirit and work nicely if you're one of those, this is my costume kind of people. Plus, gift cards, t-shirts, hats, and coffee mugs for a unique gift for that person who has everything. The Rock Shop at WMMR.com. Everything that rocks your wardrobe and more.
So, Thanksgiving.
Yes.
We talked a little bit about, you know, cooking and fires in the house. And
you're cooking, right? Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah, yeah.
Absolutely. It's a...
you enjoy it.
We all chip in the Elliott household. So the bird is my main focus. And it's really, that actually, once you get it set and going, it's set it and forget it.
You
go in the oven and it's pretty much done. Check on it here and there. It's pretty good. But
you leave the kitchen, make sure no one's in there watching the stuff.
The sides take all the work, so we kind of do that as a family. We work on that stuff together.
Nice.
It'll be cool. I'm very much looking forward to the feast and the drinking that comes along with the feast, too, which is nice. But I came across this great website called List First, and they just have some interesting historical facts and just general knowledge stuff. And they came across the things that we have been taught about the first Thanksgiving.
Right.
And that, there's a certain image that you have in mind of the way it went, and it isn't particularly accurate.
Right.
Usually. So I have some of the things that we've been led to believe,
right,
but are actually more factual. So
right.
Let's hear a few. Thanksgiving. All right. We've been led to believe the first Thanksgiving was called Thanksgiving.
No.
when people referred to the first Thanksgiving in the autumn of 1621. They're getting something wrong about that feast. For one thing, the pilgrims didn't think of it as a Thanksgiving in the traditional sense, nor would they have called it that. Back in the 17th century, the settlers considered a Thanksgiving to be a solemn religious day, which revolved around a group of people gathered around to pray as a community. There were some elements of the feast that could be ascribed to a puritanical Thanksgiving, but nobody there or even in that time period would have referred to it as such.
It took place over, I believe, 3 days, and it took place in October, right?
It was 3 days. It may have been September.
Okay.
The autumn feast took place over 3 days. It didn't become a holiday for another 200 plus years. Because Thanksgiving was previously a religious holiday, it was celebrated at different times in different places. It took a formal proclamation, President Abraham Lincoln, in 1863 to establish.
Like he wasn't busy enough.
The final Thursday in November as the right, Thanksgiving right. holiday. Yeah, he said, this was during the height of the American Civil War.
Yeah, all right, give it to me. There you go. Leave me alone.
And his proclamation was written with the goal of unifying Lincoln's fellow citizens in every part of the United States and also those who are at sea and those who are sojourning in foreign lands. That's the way it was written.
You are sojourning.
Sojourning, dude. The first Thanksgiving was the first Thanksgiving. We've been led to believe that. But when people look back upon that in 1621, they decided it was reminiscent of their own Thanksgiving celebrations. For this reason, they retroactively called the 1621 event the first Thanksgiving, but it was neither the first nor was it truly a Thanksgiving celebration, as I said before.
Do you know where the pilgrims' intended destination was initially? Manhattan.
No, really?
Yes.
Okay.
And Manhattan at that time was from what I understand historically, was a wolf-infested hellhole.
Wow.
Yeah, it hasn't changed much.
Not much. The settlers and the Wampanoags.
Yeah.
Wampanoags. I guess I say the
Indians.
The Wampanoags gathered together to feast in what is traditionally called a harvest celebration. And it was unique it wasn't unique to their culture. The Native Americans had been holding celebrations of the harvest for centuries, as had the English and many other cultures around the world. Another misconception regarding Thanksgiving it has to do when it occurred. Hardly any culture celebrates the harvest in November. It's late
yes,
for harvest.
Yeah, yeah.
That's when Thanksgiving is held in the United States each and every year. And the 1621 harvest celebration probably took place in September or maybe even early October, like you said, Steve. But not as late as November. They would not have done that. The pilgrims offered up their harvested crops, consisting almost entirely of vegetables. The holiday was informally established in November by President George Washington, 1789, but it remained unofficial until Lincoln declared it, as we said earlier.
It's funny. We've gone through the menu items, too, that were a part of that. Do you have those there?
So, yeah. A lot of people think it was turkey.
No.
But most likely
it was giblets.
It was not turkey. No, it wasn't giblets. The pilgrims didn't have an oven, so they couldn't cook a big bird like that. There isn't much known about what the colonists did eat that day, but what is known is that the Native Americans brought 5 deer, but no turkeys. The presence of venison is known thanks to the plethora of letters describing it, as deer was illegal to hunt at the time in England. So they were blown away about the fact that they could have.
Dude. Wow. Dude.
First back on the man.
Dude. Get your gun. Yeah. You can murder him by the bushel.
It's certainly possible that they ate turkey, but despite the birds being common in the area at the time, there's no historical evidence that it was included in the feast.
They ate a lot of seafood, from what I said. I think lobster was on the menu.
An eel. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Everyone loves a good Thanksgiving eel.
There are tons of foods that are commonly associated with Thanksgiving today, but were certainly not a part of the first feast. There were no apples, pears, sweet potatoes, or pie.
Their ambrosia was made out of field mice.
They didn't have flour or butter, so they couldn't make pie.
Yes.
And they didn't have potatoes. That sucks.
Oh, man.
I mean, but yet it was a feast for the eel lovers.
Turkey entered into Thanksgiving celebrations when Lincoln made it the holiday. Prior to proclamation, neither the bird nor the pilgrims were part of anyone's Thanksgiving celebrations. In 1863, New England's cuisine began influencing the rest of the country.
Yeah.
And from that point forward, Thanksgiving meals required the annual sacrifice of the unfortunate yet tasty bird.
Did you know that the pilgrims were actually in Holland at the point that they came to the United States?
Yes, actually, I did.
Didn't know that.
So I'll get to that. We think of pilgrims as puritanical society of highly conservative people. but that type of puritanical lifestyle is better attributed to the Puritans of the 19th century. Back in the 17th century, the Puritans weren't anything like that, and depictions of them...
The Pilgrims are more like the surfers in Point Break.
...as some sort of religious cult who never engaged in anything fun are far from the reality of their lifestyle. The Sabbatarian, anti-liquor, and anti-sex attitudes usually attributed to the Puritans are a 19th century addition to the much more moderate and wholesome view of life's evils held by the early settlers of New England. Life of the Pilgrims wasn't difficult and required a lot of work, but that doesn't mean that they couldn't have some fun. They weren't against marital copulation.
Ooh.
And some depictions have attested, nor were they clothed in drab outfits all the time.
Oh, I'm going to copulate. How do I get this goddamn buckle off?
They enjoyed singing and dancing whenever the time allowed. And when things went well, they held a feast, and it's that tradition that ensured the Puritans of the 17th century remain a part of the modern Thanksgiving tradition.
I wonder what their dancing looked like back then.
I'm sure it's like a lot like crunking.
Crunking?
I never...
A lot of booty pops.
Never really understood the point of a cornucopia.
Yes.
What is it? Is that just something that you held your food in and carried it in?
It's where that's you a good put question. Your corn.
That I would think that that's what that is, Case.
It's a display, yes. Like a, well, you know, it's,
but maybe they used it for something
to
more
transport
practical.
The food, perhaps.
But and why that conical shape? I don't know.
It was based off Madonna's bras.
Oh, yeah. No, I
think that is a good reason. Everything has some sort of basis in. We're watching a pilgrim.
Somebody
crunking?
Right yeah.
Oh, that's a pilgrim.
Yeah.
I didn't know they had video back then.
Yeah, it's symbolic, Case.
Yeah, it's of the lack of you do it in honor of the dead eel.
So it has first step has nothing to do with crunking. So we can move past that.
Okay,
it's based purely for decoration. Continues to symbolize abundance, a bountiful harvest, and by extension, appreciation for both of those things.
It's now, like a horn of plenty.
Yeah, it's the same thing. Let me get to the pilgrim. I'm going to come back.
The Swingers Club.
I'm going to come back to the buckles.
Okay.
All right, and then come back, and then you got to come back to this for Kathy.
All right. Oh, okay.
Okay.
Oh,
wow.
Yes, Kathy, apparently a new thing is a succulent cornucopia for Thanksgiving.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh,
did you hear that?
Oh, my God. Wow.
Someone's interested.
Sorry, you've got a wet pilgrim over here.
I'm going to shoot.
Just call me Squirto.
Oh, my God. I like the sound
squanto,
of that.
Squirto.
The succulent cornucopia.
Mm.
A cornucopia of succulents. Okay.
We'll remove that buckle and come on over here.
Actually, we're looking at one that looks quite nice, Kathy, up on the screen here in the studio.
You
can't
really
see
cool
it, but
looking.
It is pretty yeah. nice. Okay.
All right, so Steve, for starters, nobody on the Mayflower or the first Thanksgiving called themselves a pilgrim.
No.
The name wasn't associated with the European settlers until the late 19th century. So they didn't even call themselves that.
No.
The pilgrims, as we call them today, referred to themselves as either Brownists, saints, or more commonly, separatists.
They're dudes.
Due to their disagreements with the teachings of the Church of England, or the Coffee. Their reason for leaving
Where
their homeland
the decafes?
Centered around the belief that the Church of England violated the biblical precepts of true Christians. Because the Church of England was the law of the land in their native England, the separatists were forced to flee or face accusations or treason. And they didn't initially leave to flee England for the New World. Like Steve had said, when several of their congregational leaders were executed, many of them fled England for Holland.
We should probably go.
Oh, and man. Yeah, right? They're starting
hey,
to kill our leaders.
Hey, anybody up for moving? Yeah, in Holland, they were actually doing well. And they just, from my understanding, historically, Preston, they thought Holland was a little too relaxed.
It says here that they remained in the area for a decade before issues with aging and unemployment threatened their sustainability.
Mm.
Eventually, their congregation successfully petitioned for a land grant north of the Virginia Territory, which they would call New England. They joined others fleeing England and set sail in September of 1620 with 102 passengers eager to settle the New World. By December, they had arrived, and they began to settle in an area that was formerly called Patuxent. Which eventually they named Plymouth.
Yes.
So I went there this summer.
Plymouth, Rock.
Plymouth, what a dump.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Oh, man.
Yeah, listen, Casey, I know you went to Colonial Williamsburg a few years ago.
Yeah.
And were kind of disappointed by that.
No, I loved it. I was disappointed to find out that it wasn't actually all It was all rebuilt stuff. Yeah. I thought it was actually
authentic,
all
original. Yeah. They basically rebuilt what they believe it to have looked like.
You get a lot of that in Plymouth too. It's kind of run down. And
it's run down, let's call it New Delco.
Wow.
You didn't land. No, wait, Delco landed on us.
Oh, it's okay. You can make fun of
Delco. You can make fun of Delco. Yeah. Yeah.
We can't do that. So, Steve, about the buckles.
Yes.
Okay.
So, famous pilgrim buckles. Huge, Elvis-sized.
So the depiction...
Oh, man, I'm a pilgrim, man. Where's my eel?
Look at
my eel.
Look at that, man. Look at the size of that eel, man. Elvis can't take. Put some peanut butter and fry that sugar on, man. Let me have fried
peanut butter
eel sandwich, man.
That's a band name, the Peanut Butter Eels. The depiction of pilgrims isn't entirely accurate, and it may have stemmed from the Victorian romanticization of the period some 200 years later. The all-black look seems to be pinned to their puritanical nature, but it couldn't be further from the truth.
Is it just also the product of they didn't have a lot of clothing capabilities. I mean, it wasn't like, oh, you're wearing your mauve outfit today.
Yeah. No. They didn't wear just black. They had others. It was just how they were
depicted
in the Victorian period. So women in pilgrim society wore a long sleeved white undergarment.
Oh, yeah.
Which
Do you like my long sleeves?
Thou shall be my regular Sabbath thing. Women
can see the contours of my bosom.
They wore a long sleeve white undergarment, which was worn beneath a petticoat and dress, which typically was colored anything from violet to green, blue, red, or any colored cloth the ladies could get at the time. So,
so a lot more colorful than we always thought. Yeah. It was just this drab browns and stuff like that. It was a veritable fashion show there at the Pilgrim community.
Yeah, because
they probably had a runway show before they ate.
How Amish try to wear things that are plain so they don't stand out from each other.
To be plain.
That everybody is equal in that sense. That's kind of how they're depicted, pilgrims were.
They were party animals.
Yeah, yeah. In fact, they kind of were.
Grab a beer.
Don't
cost nothing.
When did they land here, by the way?
1620.
No, I meant like 1 month. I'm sorry.
I don't have the date of when they landed.
They left in August, Casey, and I think Preston, you said like it took 2 months or something like that. I think
they landed in December of 1620,
November 9, 1620. Just
okay, November.
Yeah,
but they called November, December.
Oh, and there you go. So men's outfits generally consisted
of a
white collared shirt,
Lacoste,
which was worn beneath a doublet. What is a doublet?
It's two of a singlet.
Mm-hmm. One less of a triplet.
Like a vest.
Okay.
It's okay. It's a vest.
Okay, so that which was worn beneath the doublet.
Look at my doublet, man.
The doublet could be black.
I'm so rich I can have a triplet and a quadruplet.
You're that big, too.
That's right, man.
So it could be...
I kind of like a doublet. A doublet looks very, by my eye, very sort of medieval.
Yeah.
Press, were you talking about the new sweatshirts that you see on Instagram?
Yes.
That look like colonial time stuff?
Yep.
I like that.
Look at that, man. Look at my colonial time stuff.
The doublet could be black, but it could also be blue, brown, or a similar dark color.
Many more colors than we assume they would have.
The, right. the pants would be worn as either breeches or drawers.
Drawers.
And those are words.
Why don't you go put your drawers
on?
Yeah,
pull your drawers up, young man.
And come tickle the horn on my back.
And breeches was always pronounced britches when I was a kid. Put your britches on.
Uh-huh. Start brining that turkey.
And knee-length colored stockings. So they would go with colors. They'd go for a little color pop on the stockings.
Any thigh highs amongst the pilgrim men?
See, I would imagine knee-high at least. What's that, Kath?
They were stylish.
Yeah. The shoes were low or high-cut leather boots, typically brown in color. And other than wearing bright, colorful clothing, the most prominent feature of modern depictions of pilgrims, the buckle, was nowhere to be seen.
None of those big damn buckles.
Some men may have had buckles on their belts if they wore one, but they weren't affixed to their...
You're not going out with that buckle, are you?
They were not affixed to their hats, which I could never figure out why the buckle was on the hat.
In case the one on their pants popped.
I guess to make it fit better, because I could see on your shoe.
Have you ever buckled a hat on your
head?
Well,
hey.
You have the
snapback.
The snapback baseball hats. So but, similar
the Pilgrims had those on their baseball hats.
Similar concept. That way you didn't have to have it made, you know, bespoke specifically for you. You could just buy it off the rack and tighten that buckle.
I guess.
Yeah.
But tighten that buckle.
Yeah. That hat, it's a cockle hat, by the way, is the logo on the Massachusetts highways.
Huh.
What's that now?
The cockle. So you know how, like, in Pennsylvania, it's a keystone when it's just a Pennsylvania state road?
Yeah, yeah.
In Massachusetts, it's the cockle hat.
So their highway system is based on lies.
Yeah. Born on lies.
Why, right, so. Cockle bastards.
And let me see here. Here's another misconception about Thanksgiving. The Pilgrims united at Thanksgiving after a series of conflicts. It says there's no denying that the Native American tribe had suffered in the years. The Wampanoag had suffered in the years following the first Thanksgiving. But modern interpretations and media descriptions of the event have refused to shine anything but a negative light on their relationship. Yes, they later engaged in the Pequot War. But prior to that conflict, the Pilgrims and Native Americans had a peaceful time living near one another.
When the Pilgrims got to Plymouth, they actually discovered an abandoned Indian village, and the thought was is that the Indian village, that those Indians had died from something akin to smallpox.
Okay,
And so they did meet the Indian known as Squanto, who had been captured as a slave and taken over, I believe it was to Spain. He was set free by some monks, came back to the United States and served as kind of their ambassador.
Okay.
who helped them. So there was really a very good relationship between the Indians initially until that first Cold Stone Creamery opened up.
Members of, well, the line was ridiculous.
Yeah. Come on, Indian back. Oh, you shut up, Pilgrim.
Members of the Wampanoag helped the Pilgrims construct their homes. And they even showed them the best places to catch fish, which is how cod landed on the menu at their 3-day feast that we now think of as the first Thanksgiving.
Do you like cod?
I do like cod.
How would you liken it to, say, salmon or flounder?
Mild.
Mild.
Yeah.
Then so, I might like cod.
So what usually, okay, so Steve, like Arthur Treacher's and Long
cod.
John Silver's?
Oh, yes. Okay. Yeah,
that's like, all cod.
Yeah,
it's a very mild white fish.
Filet-o fish?
Yes, there's down with cod.
There's your Atlantic cod.
Thank you.
The only time I ever had cod was in eggs. Is that normal?
In eggs?
Yes. I was in Spain. I was in Barcelona, and I ordered...
It's Barcelona.
In Barcelona. And I ordered it not knowing what it was, or maybe it wasn't listed. I forget, because you guys know I don't eat fish. And
right.
Yes, it came in like an omelet.
What did you think of it, Kathy?
I
sent it back.
No, I remember eating it thinking, oh, this isn't so bad, and then figured out what it was and was like, oh my God, I'm so sick.
You know, it's funny because, you know, I was with you a lot on the seafood, but I have to say salmon has reset me.
Yeah.
I do love salmon.
It. I love it now.
It's my main protein.
Yeah. Not only did the Pilgrims and the Wampanoags not fight one another in the early 1620s, they had a peace treaty. The leader, what was his name, Steve?
Oh, Squanto.
Squanto. There was one called Osamequin. He was known as Masasio to the Pilgrims. Negotiated a peace treaty with several key
Joey
points.
Meatballs.
That's Tony Meatballs.
Tony Meatballs.
Joey Electric.
And Lou the Whip.
Yes.
Nick the Head.
By the way, I like that.
Yeah.
Somebody on the Love You Hate You line gave Nick the name Nick the Head. That's perfect. Neither party would harm members or the other if any items were stolen. It would be returned with their own people handling punishment. Weapons would be left behind when they met for any reason, and they would serve as the other's allies during a time of war. So they had
They had a good thing going on.
Yeah. So, and also, they weren't necessarily invited to the first Thanksgiving.
They sent an evite.
They kind of crashed the party.
Yeah.
So the word
like,
was...
Like Kathy and her neighbors.
They thought, it said that some described, the account suggested that about 90 Wampanoag had heard the settlers firing guns and came to see the cause of their stir, and they were even ready to enter battle just in case. Whatever the reason for showing up, they were welcomed by the settlers with open arms.
Well,
and they had said, come on in.
Actually felt they owed the Indians because they had actually, when they found this village, there were some stores of grain and stuff and food that they had.
Oh.
And there was nobody there, and they helped themselves to it. But they,
speaking of no one's looking.
Yeah.
There's a whole bunch of eel in this place. Place lousy with eel. Let's get to town.
Hang on. Nick, what is this?
This is just sort of an adjunct about the, how do you say, Wampanoags?
That's how I've been pronouncing it. It might be Wampanoag or Wampanoags. I'm not sure.
They had an open dialogue with Roger Williams, who's one of the early settlers as well in that area, about sexuality.
It says here, premarital sexual experimentation was accepted.
Oh, yeah.
Although they expected fidelity within unions after marriage.
Okay, so they had their like their steam fitters and all that stuff.
Right, exactly. It's your standard unions. Roger Williams said that single fornication, they could count no sin. But after marriage, they could count it heinous.
So
for either of them to be false,
go so crazy. Before, but when you got married,
once you commit,
lock it, lock and load.
Yeah,
that ain't a bad theory.
No,
I like that.
That's good.
Yeah,
good stuff.
Mm-hmm. I've been enjoying this little trip down Thanksgiving memory.
You learn things.
Yeah.
I don't know if we have time, but Kathy has some pie facts.
Oh, you have pie facts? Come on.
Well,
please, I want to hear Kathy's pie facts.
It's actually a pie chart by state, the most popular pies for each state.
It's a pie chart of pies.
It's a pie chart of pies.
I love
yes.
that.
Okay, Kathy, do you have anything about the pie cost?
What do you mean? What does the pie cost?
About $2.50. Yeah. Okay, do we have time, Preston, for pies?
We don't have a lot of time.
We have a little time.
We should have.
We don't have to go over each state. Some of the states
don't
matter.
We shouldn't spend so much time on the buckles.
A lot of states don't matter.
Yeah. Don't do the right. dumb states.
So there was 8 flavors that were included in the chart. It's cranberry, cherry, pecan, pumpkin, sweet potato, blueberry, strawberry, and apple. And what I found odd about it was that there was only one state that was apple.
What?
Yeah.
Okay, so what state is apple? Is it Washington?
Connecticut.
This is their official state pie.
Is it,
no,
yeah.
it's so in so sorry Instagram. Sorry. They basically went through the popular, or they went through likes and tags and things like that, and they based it off of what people were posting about the different Thanksgiving Day pies.
Mm-hmm.
And Connecticut was the only one that favored the apple pie.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah.
Let me ask you guys a question, because I was put in charge of pies for Thanksgiving dinner, mm-hmm. and I don't really care for apple pie. So I eliminated apple pie, and I just went with...
I love a good apple pie.
I just went with pumpkin and cherry.
That's fine.
Do you think that's okay?
Cherry. I don't like... Do you like, are you like with me? Pie. I don't... Yeah, my wife loves cherry pie. Yeah. It almost drove our marriage into the ground.
See, I thought you didn't...
Case, until I realized I could just buy another pie.
Apple case, pie is my favorite.
Pumpkin was Pennsylvania.
Okay.
And then out west, like California, Nevada, Arizona, they were... hold on, what were they? They were sweet potatoes, sorry.
Prairie dog.
Mm. Prairie dog pie.
And on your pie, do you prefer a Cool Whip or a whipped cream?
Whipped cream.
Ice yeah. cream.
Vanilla ice cream.
Oh, you like the Alamode. Okay, yeah, so right. Alamode on cream. Apple pie? Alamode on apple?
Yes, that's my yeah. go-to. So,
but even
with cinnamon?
Yeah, warm apple yeah. pie.
After Thanksgiving?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. Anytime.
Yeah.
Anytime.
Oh, yeah.
Apple pie with ice cream yeah. is perfect.
That's sans ice cream and a warm blueberry pie.
Mm. Interesting.
Blueberry. Okay. Oh, yeah.
That's good with ice cream, too.
I don't really care for strawberry pie at all.
Yeah,
I used to be a strawberry guy, and it's fallen. I used to have the strawberry in the breaded cup. What do they call that? Is there a specific breaded name for that? Cup.
Like a shortcake?
Like a shortcake?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh, so yeah. I would do that, and that used to be the deal. And now I'm yeah. not so big on strawberries anymore.
We used to make strawberry shortcake all the time. I love that whipped yeah. cream. That's yeah. pretty tasty. Oh,
this yeah. is like a nightmare for me, because I love desserts, and I can't take cooked fruit.
Oh, yeah, that's right. So, you hate cooked yeah. fruit.
All of these pies, although they look delicious,
Kathy.
I, one bite and I'm like, this is, I can't do it.
What about lemon meringue?
You know what? No.
No?
Well, what about, you like pumpkin pie, right? That's not cooked
no,
fruit.
I don't like anything pumpkin flavored.
What about, I love pumpkin pie.
What about a pecan pie?
Maybe, but to me, that's not really worth the calories.
Oh, what about Boston totally. Cream pie?
No.
Chocolate hair pie.
What about hair pie?
Preston, anything chocolate, I'm in.
Okay. My mom used to make chocolate pie. I love that.
I love yeah. chocolate pie.
Mm-hmm.
You know what's good, too?
And coconut cream pie is phenomenal.
Monkey bread.
Like that,
it's though. Not a pie, but monkey
it's
bread.
It's not a yeah. pie, but yeah. it is good, man.
All right. Casey's looking at his watch. That means we got to wrap up.
No, I was
here.
Looking at my watch because my wife's like, you got to get an apple pie.
All right. Here's, we have an announcement.
Oh.
We have an update. So are they done? Is that?
No.
Oh, then
it's still growing.
But this is a number from yesterday, and it's great news.
Should I mention it?
Yes.
Or should we wait till... Okay.
I'm excited now, and I don't even know what it is.
It's in addition to the Acme contribution from, people stopping by, customers, listeners of the show, stopping by and donating at checkout. And so they are continuing... We're continuing after Camp Out for Hunger. And it goes through today. So there's still going to be more tallied that we'll have for you next week. So the total that we had for... Cash donations was $1.44 million. Okay, so that wasn't all from Acme. There were also cash donations that came in.
Yes.
The Acme, the original Acme number was somewhere in the, it was a little over $1 million. Okay, so it was like 1 million and a handful of thousand.
Yes.
We now have 1.31 million with Acme.
Oh, my God. Whoa.
Which is $260,000 more than the announcement from Friday.
So we have topped $1.7 million now. Yeah. And it's not over. There's still more coming in.
Okay.
It's incredible.
Honestly, you want to talk about something to be thankful? We're thankful for you. That's freaking real.
So if we can just get an additional $300,000 before midnight,
we can do this.
$2 million.
Casey, can you just pick up some apple pies?
It's and
some
ice cream.
Like I'm getting some apple pie.
All right. No, it's amazing. Whatever comes in is a blessing at this point. So.
The news was at my Acme and on Mermaid Lane in Mount Airy, and you can see people hopping, and they showed the area where our cardboard cutouts were, but they didn't pan enough left to include it in the picture.
Well, today is a crazy busy grocery store day.
It's the biggest day.
It is one of the biggest days of the year. It is by far the biggest day for Thanksgiving shopping. So while you're at Acme, drop a little bit in the bucket if you haven't already. That would be great, and we'll push that number even higher. Great news.
It's amazing news.
All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back in a second. We'll get some bizarre file stories, so make sure you stay close.
MMR wherever you are on WMMR.com, our mobile app on your smart speaker, and at radio.com.
I would like to thank Ashley Thompson, who sent us a nice note with some artwork, and she writes, "Hi, Preston and Steve Show. I am a longtime listener and teach at St. Mark's High School. We're studying Andy Warhol, and I use the Camp Out for Hunger as inspiration for paintings and drawings of cans." And she sent a few of her favorites to us.
I haven't seen it, but that's awesome.
Thank you for everything you do. All the best. And it's, it's of that...
Andy Warhol.
Andy Warhol.
Yeah.
Andy!
So that's nice.
Some fun... Oh, you know what? They have their names on the back. Kaylin Carter Green and Andrew Baylert. I'm going to mess these up. Olivia Catrona Purr.
Purr?
I know a Catrona.
Purr.
Anyway, and Donna Eskerline. And now I got to read them all, right?
You have to. You can't leave anybody out.
Ellie Brown.
Yes.
This one, does it have a name on it? Doesn't have a name on it. And this one is from Maya Callahan.
That's great.
Well, thank you, guys.
Order up.
Very cool. Nice little prints from the students.
And Marissa posted them up on our Instagram account.
Oh, she did.
That's great.
Excellent.
See them there.
I love it. Thank you, guys. Appreciate that. All right. We need to do the bizarre file, so let's go.
Now, WMMR presents Preston and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right. The Bizarre File. This run of it is brought to you by Godshall's. All the bacon tastes 80% less fat. You can make the switch to Godshall's real wood-smoked turkey bacon. And check out the new Make the Switch campaign with Brian Westbrook at Godshall's.com. We'll start with a nice one.
Start with
a feel-good story.
We need it for Thanksgiving.
A customer left a $3,000 tip for a single beer as a restaurant had voluntarily closed because of the COVID-19 pandemic.
I love stories like this.
The man walked into Nighttown on Sunday in Cleveland, ordered a beer, asked for the check, which came to $7.02, and owner Brendan Ring wrote on Facebook. He said the man wished him well, told him to share the tip with four employees who were working brunch service. As the man walked out, Ring wrote that he looked down at the tip and realized that he left $3,000. He said, "I ran after him." And he said, "Nope, no mistake. We'll see you when you reopen." Ring said he would not post the customer's name because he thinks the man wouldn't want that. The owner said that he and his serving staff were humbly grateful for this incredible, kind, and grand gesture.
That's a good example.
I like to hear that. In a brutal blow to European pleasure seekers, the popular sex toy company, Godemiche, has announced that a charge of $25 will be slapped onto the back end of every order shipped to it the continent. They had written in a statement, up until now, we've avoided talking about the United Kingdom leaving the European Union because nobody knows anything, and we have been determined to deal with any problems that arise quickly and with little or to no impact on you, our customers. But thanks to extra checks and restrictions at the border, the shipping company will now charge delivery costs of $17 in addition to the extra European cost of $25. That means that a small butt plug costing $15 will now set customers back a whopping $57.
Well, listen, if you need a plug in your butt, you pay for it.
They said this isn't a cost we can absorb, and it's one that will make smaller orders unnecessarily expensive.
Yeah.
So, bad news. The price of butt plugs has gone way up in England.
Good news. The make-it-yourself kits are going to sell out.
Yes, they will. Yeah.
Home butt plug kits.
Police in Kushiro City announced the arrest of a woman suspected of puncturing 13 melons with her finger.
What?
Yes.
That's a strong finger.
Her motives remain a mystery. The crime occurred when the 64-year-old suspect entered a supermarket and allegedly stabbed the baker's dozen of melons with her finger. It's important to note these aren't just any ordinary melons, but they are the renowned Yubari King, which often make headlines for selling at exorbitant prices. The victimized melons had a combined worth of $135.
Wow.
Interestingly enough, though, no security cameras caught her in the act, so it's unclear how the police managed to track the culprit down. The nature of their detective work and the suspect's motives have not been revealed, leaving it all open to wild speculation. Dozens of smuggled parrots stuffed in plastic bottles have been found on a ship docked in Indonesia's eastern region of Papua. Police said that the crew discovered 64 live parrots and 10 dead birds after hearing noises coming from inside a large box.
It's horrible.
Indonesia is home of the highest number of threatened bird species in Asia and a rampant illegal trade in birds. And birds are sold domestically in giant avian markets or smuggled abroad.
Birds.
The birds. The destination of the birds was unclear.
Get me a bottle of birds.
No arrests have been made so far. The seized birds were identified as black-capped lories, or a type of parrot native to New Guinea and nearby islands in the Southwest Pacific Ocean. It is a protected species in Indonesia that is sought after illegally to supply the pet trade. Huh. So, yeah.
What they do is they stuff as many as they can. They know that some are going to die, a decent percentage, but they get some through. It's really cruel.
Yeah, and I saw the pictures of them. It's horrible.
Yeah.
It's absolutely horrible. Let's see here. Can't find the bird clip?
Bird.
You
give me back my bird. Sure you want to take that that way, Mickey? You want to try it again? Give me my bird. What are you saying? Are you Russian or what are you?
All right.
I got it. There you go. Like a frog star, nope, that's...
That's the song. My
that,
bird.
That is...
Iron Man 3.
That's Iron Man 2, actually. That was up.
This one's called My Bird.
I love that song.
I was Post Malone.
Okay.
And
he has a bird song?
I love My Bird.
There you go. My Bird.
Totally worth it.
Was it?
Sure was. Sure was. Hey.
Sure, yes.
I loved it.
I'm thankful for that.
And we sold some Post Malone albums.
What are we thankful for?
Bird.
I love My Bird.
Okay.
No. A man has been reunited with his weathered wallet.
You all know Whiplash.
A man has been reunited with his weathered wallet 26 years after it went missing on a beach. Paul Davis forgot about the 1994 mishap, losing his cards, his cash on New Year's Eve after partying with pals, but has now been returned to him after it washed up very close to where he lost it.
No.
And it even had the $5 tucked safely inside when it was handed back to him.
That's amazing.
It was discovered in New South Wales, Australia earlier this week. The wallet was found a matter of yards from where the man was when he sipped from his when it slipped from his pocket over 25 years ago. It still contained his credit card, medical, and student cards, despite swimming in the ocean for many years.
That's insane.
Determined-
what about the condom?
Determined to find the wallet's owner, the person who found it shared a photo on a local Facebook group. It was soon spotted, and the hunt started. Paul's cousin's wife had spotted the post and quickly alerted him as the happy ending played out. He was reunited with it just a few days after, and he knows exactly where it will go. He said he plans to frame it and put it in his bar, where he prays that the good luck will hopefully keep on coming.
My bar.
All right. That's what I have in the bizarre file for you. All right, let's keep in mind that all morning long you have texted in to try and win our secret text word prize. We're going to give that away now. So, Kathy, give me a number. Caller, please.
25.
Caller 25, 215-263, WMMR. Let's see if you know the secret text word. If you do and you're the 25th caller, you win. And while we're waiting for that call to come in, we will randomly grab one as well from the texts that have come in, and we'll get a winner that way, too. We're going to take a break, and we will be right back. Stay with us.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro, get personalized deals on the products you buy most, and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're getting close to the end. We got a few more things to do before we wrap for the day. But keep in mind, we give away our Word of the Week prize today because it's a short week. So three letters. That's all you needed to have in order to win that prize. It's coming up. We were looking for a caller, number 25, I believe, for secret text word. And I'm going to the phones to that person. It is Joe. Hey there, Joe.
How are you, Preston?
Awesome, bud. Thanks for asking. Do me a favor. Tell me what that secret text word is.
Stuffing.
Stuffing, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Very good.
Hang on, Joe. We're going to give you Unhinged on Blu-ray. Academy Award winner Russell Crowe stars in a timely psychological thriller that explores the fragile balance of a society pushed to the edge, taking something we've all experienced, road rage, to an unpredictable and terrifying conclusion. You can own it on Blu-ray, DVD, and digital right now. We're also going to give a copy to Troy Carney, who is from Piles Grove, New Jersey. So congratulations. That was our random texter, and we're going to take care of him. By the way, we have a new Daily Rush video that is up.
Wow.
Titled, Preston Cooks a Turkey. According to a man at the turkey place, Preston doesn't need to brine his turkey and likes when his wife wears a strap-on.
That was quick.
That was this morning.
Yeah.
Watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. Sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar. So there you go. All right, today's lesson question. We have a prize, and we're going to give away a digital download of Westworld, third season, The New World. And the question we'll go with this morning is, in case of the end of days, Steve has stored which items inside one of the caves at Carlsbad Caverns? 215-263-WMMR. Okay, in case of the end of days, Steve has stored which items inside one of the caves in Carlsbad Caverns? 215-263-WMMR. That's our number. Call now. Let's see if you can get it. And we'll do the trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
Let's see where we're going today. Steve, what's up?
Well, New Delhi police investigating Netflix India after they aired a, quote, objectionable program in which a Hindu girl kisses a Muslim boy in front of a Hindu temple. Ironically, the same officials who raised objections recently gave India's highest civilian honor to Joe Exotic. So, Kelly Clarkson is apparently regretting filing for divorce from Brandon Blackstone after 7 years of marriage. Clarkson says she misses knowing there was always someone there to hate.
Oh, my God.
And finally, according to In Touch magazine, Felicity Huffman's marriage to Bill Macy is falling apart after her short-term jail stay. Life on the inside changed Huffman, who now spends her days making wine in the toilet.
Let's see what we can do with this. We're looking for a winner. In case the end of days, Steve has stored which items inside one of the caves at Carlsbad Caverns. I will go to Holly and see if she knows the answer. Good morning, Holly.
Good morning, It. How are you?
Good morning, It.
It to you. What item does Steve keep in Carlsbad Caverns?
He keeps she keeps hers cheese balls.
Cheese balls, yes, yeah! Hers. You got it, Holly. Hang on. For you, a digital download of Westworld, third season, the new world free. The new world.
Free?
Free will is not free. And these violent delights have violent ends. Welcome back to Westworld, HBO's hit science fiction drama. Own it on digital 4K, Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and DVD today. There was a period there that
yes.
I missed.
Yes. Well, it's hard to see sometimes.
All right, let's do music news.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music News on 93.3 WMMR.
Yeah! Music news brought to you by God Shawls. All the bacon taste, 80% less fat. Make the switch to Godshall's real wood-smoked turkey bacon. And check out the new Make the Switch campaign with Brian Westbrook at godshalls.com. A week after their album release of Power Up, AC/DC now has the number one spot on the charts in 18 countries and counting.
That's wild.
The list includes the number one spot on the Billboard Top 200, selling over 117,000 copies in the first week. The album marks the band's sixth number one album in Australia, where they are the only Australian group in history to have had a number one album across five decades. Back in Black in the 80s, Ball Breaker Live in the 90s, Black Ice in the 2000s, Rocker Bust in the 10s, and now Power Up. This album also holds Germany's biggest first week of 2020 and the biggest first week of an international act in 4 years, as well as being the UK's fastest-selling album of 2020 and the biggest first week of the year.
Well, they deliver what people want.
Yeah.
They don't, you know, they don't release, like, Sonata in D minor. You know, it's, you get AC/DC.
You can count on AC/DC. Yeah. That's the thing. It's definitely what you want, and it's what you get. Metallica's Helping Hands 2020 live stream to benefit the band's All Within My Hands Foundation has been extended. Ticket packages will be available to purchase up until midnight on Giving Tuesday, December 1st. Metallica's first ever pay-per-view event live stream November 14th has raised over $1.3 million thus far. Someday it'll be as big as a Camp Out for Hunger.
Yeah. Yeah.
Those funds will be used to work for partners at Feeding America.
I guess we just care more.
And the American Association of Community Colleges, along with supporting COVID and disaster relief efforts in the coming months. As always, 100% of the proceeds from this year's Helping Hands event, tickets, fees, and auction items will go directly to help those in need.
It's a wonderful charity.
With Metallica and the foundation covering all production costs and expenses. Yeah, it is cool. In an interview with Spin, Machine Gun Kelly opened up about why he decided to go pop punk on his new album, Tickets to My Downfall. He said it needed a face again. It needed someone to walk up in the camera and go, F you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
He also discussed winning a Best Alternative Video at the VMAs for Bloody Valentine. He said about the win, that brought back dreaming to me. I made Tickets to My Downfall on my own accord for only the love of music. And at that time, I was completely written off. My agents weren't getting blown up. It was like an exponential time for my career.
Yes. Marty!
Yeah. That's bad. That's not a good thing.
Just blew up my agent. Yeah. You know what he did? He took it's Blink-182 and, you know, brought it into his realm, and it's more rock, so I'm down with it.
He said, I approached the album already kind of as a failure, which is what gave it such a genuine angst.
That's how we approach every morning on air.
Yes.
We're going to fail at this.
Mm-hmm. Only go up from here.
It's just icing if we do anything remotely listenable.
And finally, Sammy Hagar says that the proposed Van Halen reunion would have been a dream come true. In an interview excerpt posted from NME.com, Hagar said that the late Eddie Van Halen had thought about a kitchen sink tour and would have included bass player Michael Anthony and vocals from both Hagar and David Lee Roth. Maybe even Gary Cherone, I heard.
That would be, well, but was there any weight to this, or was it just...
Hagar had heard about it and said no one had confirmed any of it, but it was obviously what was going to happen. About David Lee Roth, he said, I wouldn't look forward to having to share the stage with Dave, only because he's not user-friendly. I love the guy, I love the music and all that, but he's just not user-friendly. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
In more detail, he said that Roth would always try and pull something that would, quote, make you look bad and make him look good. But he clarified that wouldn't be enough to keep him away, stating that it would have been a blast.
In other Van Halen news, Wolfgang, son of Eddie, of course, just released his first solo single called Distance.
Which we liked.
It debuted at number one on this week's Hot Hard Rock Songs chart. Yeah, it's a good tune.
Yeah.
It's very well done. That's it in music news, but I have one last thing to give away. I have one last $25 gift card for Marchwood Tavern. We'll take caller number 12, 215-263-WMMR. They're here today with the Bud Light Platinum Seltzer Thursday night home gate kickoff. You visit WMMR.com/Bud Light to enter to win a football home gate prize pack delivered safely by a member of the Preston and Steve Show. They'll deliver everything you need to kick off your at-home football weekend in style, like case Bud Light Platinum, a set of custom WMMR Bud Light Platinum Seltzer pint glasses, and a gift card to a local restaurant like Marchwood Tavern. So get on board and let's set you up.
Did I hand you that?
Did I do that?
Yeah, I did this for Music News.
Oh, you did? Okay. I just wanted to make sure.
It's a sponsor. I had to make sure I got that in. All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back. We will get our winner for the Word of the Week prize when we return. So stay with us.
What's new? Glad you asked. Greta Van Fleet. Bruce Springsteen. Smashing Pumpkins.
New music. More of everything that rocks.
On 93.3 WMMR.
We are just about done for the week. It has been a lot of fun this week as we're getting back in the swing of things after Camp Out for Hunger.
What the hell's happening to the window?
I don't know, dude.
Split down the middle.
So they've been this dark blue tint all morning, which has been the norm, and now it seems like the tint is starting to fade away. And it just does it arbitrarily. I mean, like, Steve earlier, it's so darkly tinted. I was looking outside, and I'm like, I think it's a nice day out.
And they said,
Pretty sure it's a nice day.
You have every reason to believe that. There's just no visual proof that it is.
Yeah, and now they're half-tinted. I don't know, man. They got a mind of their own. Who the hell knows? I want to thank you for being on the show today. Anybody who called in was participating because we didn't have any guests, although we did go on Fox Good Day, and it was nice to see those guys. It's been a little while. By the way, somebody texted in and said, Smith & Meyer sounds like a company that makes guns and bacon.
Yes.
It does. Never thought about it that way. So thank you for your text. We appreciate that. Pierre is here. Hey, man.
Hiya.
How are you?
Fine, thanks. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for playing Big Money for me yesterday. I listened to it in my car.
Oh, cool.
It was awesome.
Was hoping you would enjoy that.
Yeah, I did.
Power Windows is a cool album.
It's a great album. Yeah. It's one of my favorites.
Yeah. Preston was leaving the building, and he was starting to do the drum rolls for Tom Sawyer, which is the first of the double shots. I go, hey, it's you call it, Double Shot Tuesday. Pick one. He goes, really?
Like, ooh.
Yeah. He was quite intrigued And then he finally settled on Big Money. I said,
felt very privileged.
Big Money's one of my favorite Rush songs. Cool. One of my favorite songs.
Very cool.
Favorite
song ever?
It's one of my favorites.
Oh, wow.
No. Cool. Happy Birthday's my favorite.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a classic. Shall we do the letter and then move on to other things?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
The Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
R as in rest and relaxation.
Yes.
All right, let's take caller number 8 at 215-263-WMMR and see if you have been paying attention and if you know that three-letter word that we will have today. People were texting in asking about Alice's restaurant today.
Well, funny you should mention that because we will be running it, in case you hadn't heard, at 10 a.m., at 12 noon, and at 2 p.m. But some years ago, I think this goes back to Rittenhouse Square. Steve Lushbaugh was our production director, brilliant guy. He took all 18 minutes and 30 seconds and condensed it into just under 60 seconds. It's about 58, 59 seconds. And it's the abbreviated version, which we like to think of as a appetizer. So if you have that, Casey.
Well, hang on. Can I ask, is it just fast? Well, let's listen to it.
Yeah. It
is.
A Cliff Notes version.
All right. Here we go.
Already too long.
You can get anything you want. Two Thanksgivings ago, half a ton of garbage, red VW microbus, Officer Obie, kid, police officer station, 27-8-5-10, color glossy photographs for next morning, injected, inspected, detected, infected, kill! Group W. Mean and nasty and ugly and horrible. This piece of paper's got 47 words, 37 cents, it's 58 words. We want no details of the crime. Da 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 da. At Alice's Restaurant.
Your appetizer.
That's all
your
you need to know.
Yeah, I love it.
Full meal will be served tomorrow. What time was that again? That's 10 a.m., 12 noon, and 2 p.m. Although yesterday someone said, I'm an Alice virgin, so I really do need to know those times.
Wow. Okay.
So, hey, what's the brief story behind that song?
It's a true story. Arlo was having Thanksgiving dinner at the friend's house who lived in a church or something in this little town in Massachusetts, and they threw garbage. They dumped their garbage, and they got arrested for it by Officer Obie. There was, I think he's passed away, but there was an Officer Obie. And then it actually made the Massachusetts papers. People have sent me the little article, local singer arrested, you know, for littering. And then it goes into a, you know, an anti-war thing. It's 1969. So
right.
It's in the midst of the Vietnam War and all of that. So it goes into, you know, being drafted and taken down to the Group W bench. Lush froze Group W because at that particular time we were owned by Westinghouse.
Group W.
I like it. And so that's the essence of it. You know, there's as every folk singer will do, there's a lot of add-ons, you know, exaggerations and extra tellings and extended things about the story. We have one at 12 noon, which we will play, which is the 25th anniversary one, which in which Arlo claims that the 18 minutes and 33 seconds of Alice's Restaurant is actually the 18 minutes and 33 seconds of the missing Watergate tapes.
It's a coincidence.
Okay, a coincidence? Yeah. You tell me. I don't know.
You know what's funny? The 25th anniversary edition is now 26 years old.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Do you have the EDM version this year? Or
We're working on it.
Yeah. Hey.
Pancakes remixing even now.
So the final performance is at 2? The 2 o'clock one?
Yeah, and that will be on vinyl.
Somebody had posted this, and I like this. It says, as soon as the 2 p.m. Alice's Restaurant is over, that's when we are allowed to listen to Christmas music.
So
that's your official marker. You wait after that, and then the jingles can begin, the little Christmas carols.
Arlo Guthrie does one of my, now you want to talk about one of my favorite songs, his version of City of New Orleans.
Oh, my God.
Is one of the greatest songs.
America, I love you. It's a great song.
Yeah. Ring Around the Rosy Rag was written about Rittenhouse Square.
Really? About Rittenhouse Square?
Yeah.
And there's story a hippie in the window.
I don't know.
You don't know the story behind
it?
I don't
know, but it's... Someone will.
Okay.
Someone will know that.
Someone will know it.
Hopefully it doesn't die before
that's
we find
your
out.
Music authority.
Yeah, the best storyteller is like, somebody knows it, though.
Someone will know.
One time I had a program director who was always on my case about stuff, and I couldn't do anything right in this person's eyes. And so I either was telling a good story, wasn't telling a good enough story. So there was some band, and I made up this whole story about how they came up with their name, sitting around a campfire singing a Boy Scout song because they had all been Boy Scouts. And it was the dumbest, most ridiculous story. And he walked in the studio and goes, now that's the kind of broadcast I'm talking about.
Oh,
I'm going,
God.
And there you have it, ladies and gentlemen.
Is what it is. All right, we're looking for the correct caller, number 8, to give. And then we'll find out what you got coming up besides that, if you'd like. Hi, Michelle.
Hi, how are you?
Wonderful. Michelle, do you know the word of the week?
Air.
Right? Air. Day in the morning.
Got it. That is correct, Michelle. And for you, we have a 4-pack of tickets for the Winter on Broad Street Holiday Light Spectacular presented by Deeds & Watson on Sunday at 6 p.m. and 4 Winter on Broad Street themed
merch items and a photo with Gritty.
Oh!
Wow.
So you can get tickets and showtimes.
Bring a vacuum.
WinterOnProdStreet.com. Hang on the line, Michelle, and have a happy Thanksgiving from us here at MMR. What's up for today, my man?
Well, we'll have one more of those 3-CD deluxe edition sets of American Beauty and Working Man's Dead, courtesy of Dead Not Dead.
Are you sending code?
I am sending code to Kathy because is going to put on her tie dyes and we're going to twirl. I've got that, whoever it's from. Uh-huh. And I will also have Workforce Blocks, Fleetwood Mac, Jimi Hendrix, and I'm working on the third. Maybe it'll be Dead. I don't know. We'll figure something out.
Okay. All right. Nice. Yeah. Thank you, Pierre. I want to take this moment to thank our sponsors. Preston and Steve Show is brought to you today by Dunkin', the official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show, and by Godshall's Real Wood Smoked Turkey Bacon. Next week on the program, Danica McKellar.
Oh, she's got a Christmas movie.
She does.
She's one of my favorites.
And we will have the triumphant return to our studio, Kathy Ramon. Here in our humble little abode, or abode away from her abode.
Yes.
So we'll have that and many other things and recaps from Thanksgiving and all that stuff. So we hope that you and yours have a wonderful and safe holiday over the next few days. And thank you again for your miraculous work at the Camp Out for Hunger. Totals are still coming in. The numbers went up today, Pierre.
Are
they're
going to
keep going up. No, we had another like over $200,000 because Acme is still accepting donations through today. So it's
so shop at Acme.
Yep. That's it. We're done. Rage on. Have a great day. We'll see you later, gang. Bye bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
All right, I got them all now. We got Preston Sticks Elliott, Steve Funny Money Morrison, Casey the Ranch, Kathy Moneybags Romano, and Nick the Head. Yeah, that'll do.
Next message.
Preston and Steve Show, thank you guys so much for a phenomenal week of the camp out and amazing numbers. What you guys do is astounding. I know you're humble about it, but you're amazeballs. Rage on.
Next message.
To the lady that wanted to crush people's Christmas dreams because they have their tree up already, you. 2020 has been a year. Let people have some freaking joy in their lives.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.